Hey, everybody, and welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast. We're at issue 18, digging into the week two offerings from DC for the new relaunch, reboot, whatever you want to call it. So we'll get going. Hopefully it won't go as long as we did last time. I would like to sneak in some Marvel stuff at the end. And so starting off, I'm Colin McMahon, owner proprietor of Pittsburgh Comics. And to my left is...
Adam Russell.
Jason Kolfmiller.
Matt Lytle.
Dan Garbar.
Nick.
Calling in from Cleveland.
Nick Riley in Cleveland. I thought I was going after Matt.
You're right.
Well, technically you're seated after Matt, but yeah. You don't know that. You're breaking up a little bit too.
I'm the newbie here. Sorry. I screwed up.
No, Dan, you're fine.
Dan Garbar.
Then stranger number three. I'm sorry.
Justin Pinto.
Ryan Sargent.
Ben Holmes.
Jeremy Dan.
Mike Holmes.
Okay, that's the whole group. So I figure the easiest way, we'll start alphabetically. That's how I started reading them and before I went wildly off schedule because I ran out of time. First up, Batman and Robin. We'll start with, let's see, who's the Batman expert? Or who wants to jump in? Anybody?
I will.
Ryan, yeah. Go for it. Well, I've seen our Batman guy, but you didn't read it.
You told me to read Superboy. So
could only read one, so that was my choice of the week. That was my pick.
It was great. I loved it. 5 stars. I've been looking forward to Gleason and Tomasi on Batman and Robin since they were supposed to pick up from... I think they were supposed to pick up from Morrison right when he finished.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of got, you know, a couple arcs extended. And they only did 3 issues before the reboot. But their 3 issues before the reboot were great, and this issue was just as good. I wasn't sure how the whole flip-flop dynamic between Bruce and Damian was going to go. Because I really liked Dick and Damian kind of joking around, being bros. But seeing...
Bros, if you don't want the costume, I'll wear it, bros.
Right, exactly. Seeing Bruce and Damian be father and son was pretty cool. And Tomasi really did something interesting with the Bat mythos in this issue that no one's really thought about getting over before. And I like that. And I also like that someone else besides Morrison is playing with Batman Inc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I liked it a lot. I liked how it was setting up Bruce's relationship with Damian. I also liked that it showed Alfred as a human.
Yes.
After Detective, there was a little question, is he a hologram? What's going on? So I did like
that.
Well,
this one, the time was set for us because, you know, it is after, you know,
right. And
so that kind of helped,
yeah.
Too.
And they also definitively said 10-year-old Damian, established him as a 10-year-old, which I liked.
Yeah.
Also, I like the fact Bruce does not trust him. You know, there's not an automatic, he's my kid, I'm going to trust him. What?
Yeah, no, Bruce says, you're not my partner, you're my son. I think that's an interesting line.
Yep. I like the new bad guy with the victim tying into Batman Inc., like you said.
Yep.
And I thought the art and story were really good.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Batman from Moscow.
Yeah, that was like a Batman in Moscow.
Yeah,
Batman. So, yeah, adding to the Batman. Now, Matt, I know you didn't like it, so.
I didn't like the art. I didn't like the dynamics between Batman and Damian. I thought Damian was too much of a punk, and Bruce Wayne, my Bruce Wayne, would not have put up with that. Bruce Wayne would have made Damian disappear if he acted like that about his parents. I just didn't like it. Mm. I thought the art was sloppy and cartoony for a Batman book. I thought it'd be more appropriate on a Spider-Man or Superman book, but not.
Okay, I didn't remember that at all. Yeah. I think part of it, though, you have to realize Bruce is looking at, he's been Robin for 2 years, not in real time,
right.
But he's established himself, so I don't know if he would dismiss him quite that easily.
Plus, he's his son.
Yeah.
You're not going to dismiss your son quite as easily as you would just... Someone who's not your flesh and blood. You're not.
Yeah, well.
You give them a little bit more slack.
I wouldn't put up with it, though. Well, would you put up with it? Would you not?
I don't know if it's so much putting up with it. But.
You got to teach the kid respect.
It's only been one issue.
But
that's true.
Yeah.
It's true. And I'll read the next one.
I don't know if he didn't do that. I mean, he actually was pretty well came back at him for a lot of things. Like, he even told him that he needs to, like, respect him a little more.
Yeah.
Or respect his grandparents, which I thought was kind of a cool line.
I guess I see the difference in when Damian first showed up in Morrison's run, you know, he was raised by the League of Assassins, and that's not very... It's not a very loving environment. And even the first time he was at the manor when he was being disrespectful to Alfred, Batman responded to him as a sensei would. Batman referred to himself as Damian Sensei. And that's the only time that I've ever seen Damian really listen...
Mm-hmm.
To Bruce. So maybe, I don't know, maybe the idea is that they're trying to make Bruce sort of ease into this caring relationship with his son.
And I'm not a huge Tomasi fan either.
Right.
So, I mean, in my book, he's average. He's okay. Mm-hmm. I don't dislike him. I don't like him.
I say, I think I'm somewhere in between those two extremes of where I was. I thought last week's detective was much, much better than this. And I'm also one of those people that thought Dick and Damien was such a far better dynamic than Bruce and Damien. But I do think part of that is Bruce is very uncomfortable with the fact that he has a son and how to deal with him, because, as you said, it's a very different way of dealing with Damien because he's his son versus Dick or Tim or Jason because they were his partners, his pupils.
Well, he adopted Dick and Tim.
So, I mean, it was good. I think I was expecting a little more, and I'm thought Detective was better, and I'm looking more forward to Batman than I was to this.
Yeah, I think the end of Batman and Robin before the relaunch disappointed me too. So maybe it's
just I loved that last issue. So.
Yeah, I'm the exception.
I didn't read up to that, but Okay, Batwoman. Really brief notes I had. Long wait, but worth it. I thought the art was, you know, it literally stepped right from that last issue. My questions: what happened to Renee Montoya? Because it definitely was treating her like she had died. So I don't remember that. Or maybe is she gone is the question, so they assume she's gone. They spent a couple pages on that without really explaining.
Yeah, I think she disappeared in the crime Bible.
Oh, that was so long ago.
She had the backup.
She's been the backup with the Birds of Prey and stuff. I don't think she's been around since the crime Bible.
As far as I know. As far as I know, the last appearance pre-reboot was the Batman Annual crossover where they were in France, and she kind of helped them infiltrate the weird shadowy cult in France, and she was trying to get the Mark of Cain removed from her that she acquired in the backups from the Batwoman detective run. But other than that, I don't know.
Okay. And then it wasn't clear to me who Betty was, or Bet. That it just...
Did you read the detective run, or... Batwoman.
When it came out a year and a half ago. You know.
She's Kathy's cousin.
They're related, aren't they?
Okay. Yeah, that's her cousin.
Well, is that a play then on the original Batwoman, like Silver Age she was Batgirl?
Yeah.
Like Batwoman and Batgirl.
Yeah,
but there's really no...
Okay.
Other than the
character. And then there was a comment about Flamebird and a costume, and I felt like I was walking into the middle of something.
Wasn't Flamebird a Titan, a Teen Titan at one point?
Yeah, and she makes reference to that in Batwoman 2. It's the same character. She was the original Batgirl to the original Batwoman, and they're sort of adapting it for a new continuity.
Okay.
But yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Discuss. What else?
Perfect. I loved it. There was nothing wrong with it. The art was great. The writing was solid. It wasn't a surprise to me, but it was the best book of the week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love Batman's appearance at the end, especially after the Zero, where the basis of the Zero was him, who is this, and just kind of noticing her for the first time, evaluating her in his mind. So that was neat seeing him pop up at the end like that.
It was gorgeous.
Oh, it was
gorgeous, gorgeous art.
Oh, yeah.
If you like that art, go read Prometheus by Alan Moore and him. Same layouts, great art.
I think
but
it's
a non-linear story.
True.
Yeah. I think it's great to see Williams carry over a character that he created, Agent Chase, for the DEO, the blonde-haired woman. He created her with, I don't remember, Dan Curtis Johnson in the 90s.
They're coming out with a hardcover.
Yeah, they are.
Yes.
Yeah, the whole run. Because they came out with one of those DC Comics Presents, the first four issues of it.
Yeah, when Matt mentioned Prometheus, or
Promethea.
Yeah. I was going to mention Chase, which is one of my all-time favorite series. It only went 10 issues. And it's phenomenal. It's actually one of the reasons I wanted to pick up Batwoman, because I wanted to see what they did with the character again.
Anybody else?
Having never read Batwoman before, it was awesome.
Okay, good.
And just as a new reader, I was like, wow.
That was my one concern with that. How would it be a new reader to go into it? Same thing with Green Lantern. I had some problems, and as I've been selling it, I've been telling people, have you been reading Green Lantern? If not, I've been giving them the little...
So,
one-page synopsis.
So, a new reader, was it hard to follow that? Because J.H. Williams' layout is not typical. I mean, it's kind
not
of
not for me. No, it was for Benjamin. It was a little hard for him to follow the panel structure.
I just didn't. Having read books like that, was it circular or was it left to right? I didn't get that.
Usually left to right. Yeah. It's like, but it might be all the way left. It might not just be top to bottom. Mm-hmm.
Williams likes to do a lot of flowing kind of layouts where, you know, he'll lead you along the top of the page and then bring you in a zigzag down and back.
Yeah, it's like
but he's normally, he does it in a way that your eye is meant to follow it.
Yes.
And like, a lot of us are trained readers.
Well, he's the type of artist who shows you who a good letterer is. Because the letterer will lead you where you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the word balloon should lead you where you need to go.
Yeah, this one I didn't really understand.
I think I got lost in that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's fun to get lost on the pages.
It's
you know?
Like a detective. It can be. Yeah. It can be tough to follow.
But, you know, I have to go back and look at it all over again. You know, it's not a bad thing.
Because
you know.
they had some of the art in the detective run where it had the bat symbol, basically. And it went all the way down to the middle. It was a double page. It went all the way down and then back up and then down here and down. Bottom left, bottom right.
The cool thing I thought was a lot of the crazy layouts, like the ones that... It's probably not good saying this, but what I thought was neat was a lot of the more expressionistic layouts were the ones he was using to summarize what came first, so rather than just give you your standard...
Like the history, like with his sister or her sister and stuff.
Painted, like flowing, almost dream-like way. That was really cool.
Okay, next up, Deathstroke. Somebody else lead.
One of my favorite books of the week. It was a big surprise. I liked the character from before, but the ending where it's like, oh, he's going to have... Oh, wait, no, he's not. Like, just kind of like thinking...
Yeah, it would have been interesting having him having a supporting team.
Then you get like a real big twist that you weren't expecting.
Yeah.
And it felt like a, you know, like a... action movie from the 80s, kind of, right? Like,
in a good way.
What was that, the one with John Travolta where he goes from plane to plane in the middle of the... I don't know.
But I remember somebody was saying they were a little worried about his big sword and how that was going to play and if it was going to look ridiculous. And I'm like, that was pretty cool. You know, he lops off the heads and then he jumps from the airplane and stabs the sword into the side of the airplane so he can hang on. I thought it was really neat introductory issue. If you don't know the character, you can jump on that, and it basically let you know everything you needed to know. And it was one of the few ones that didn't have the cliffhanger ending to bring you back for number two, but I think there was certainly enough of a story to want to bring you back for number two. I thought the art and the story were good.
Yeah, one of the things, just looking at the art from the relaunch, I thought, what are they doing to Deathstroke? Because with the giant sword, I was one of the ones that's like, you know,
it was more of an armored costume than, like, the chainmail with the cloth
and it just felt like just those visual changes just made me assume, oh, my gosh, they must be drastically changing his character. And then you read, and within the first two pages, it's like, nope, this is Deathstroke, the same Deathstroke I've always, you know, known.
Does he feel older to you? Most of the characters feel younger to me, but he feels older than even in that Titans run where he was...
I don't know about older, but probably the same.
Maybe softer. Maybe they're playing him more not older, but he's in his old age. And people, because they kind of hint that clients aren't hiring him anymore for the tough jobs because they don't think he can do it. So I wonder if they're trying to...
Okay.
It just seems weird because...
Gentrification in the DC universe.
Discrimination.
The guys he was working with seemed really young, so maybe it's just a juxtaposition against them.
Yeah, I think...
Nick, if you're just opening your books, how do you know all this?
Photographic memory. Seriously, I can get through things.
He knows stuff.
Yeah.
Did we'll call him Layla from now on. The panel where he lops the head off, it's J. Jonah.
It does look like him. Yeah, there's no denying.
I'm like, that's a clear shot at Marvel.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, something good about Marvel now.
Yeah. We'll get to Marvel at the end. Okay, next up, Demon Knights. Anybody?
Yay. Liked it a lot more than I thought I would. Demon Knights was one of those. I read the solicit. I'm not a big Etrigan fan, so I was like, you know, obviously I'm going to read it because I'm reading all 52. But then when I actually sat down to read it, it was much better. It was like a good medieval fantasy without all the trappings of a medieval fantasy book. And I'm sure there are a lot of purists out there that would probably kill me for saying this, but it was actually refreshing to see the demon not speak in rhyming couplet every single time.
But I think they hinted at that because He wasn't, and then as soon as Merlin puts him into the body, do you notice Merlin's incantation rhymed? And I think that's where it probably comes from. Because I don't think...
Dan has something to say on this.
Did Etrigan talk after that, or Etrigan, whatever?
He said the incantation begone the form of human.
Okay. They slightly changed that as well.
Yeah, that's what I did. I thought it was different.
It's just so subtle, and I don't know why they would want to subtly change that. But no, what I had mentioned to Colin earlier was in I've only read Ennis's run of the Demon, and the Demon it was a stature thing. He had to go up the ranks to be a rhyming demon. That made him some sort of.
It's a high ranking, like a general.
No, it's just that you two remember that.
I love Demon Knights. It was probably my favorite book this week. And for anybody who's a fan of Dungeons and Dragons, they did the setup. All the random characters ended up in the same tavern. Now let's go out and kick some dragon.
Yeah, dinosaur butt. Yeah.
I really like the art. I thought the writing was good. I'll read number two, but I just don't. It's one of those. It's like Legion Lost. Like, it was good, but it's not my stick. It's not what I'm interested in. But I'll definitely try the second issue because I'm really interested to see if it ties into Stormwatch because of that one flashback panel where they talk about Stormwatch and they show a flashback to Demonites. And I want to see if that ties together or not.
Okay.
Now, will he stay in this time period?
Probably. This is just probably telling the times of him in this time period. I mean, he's a demon. He's been around for...
From everything we've been led to believe, this is going to be
say,
primarily...
Cornell's interviews have said that he's planning that it's set in that time
period. It's Dungeons and Dragons, Dragon Age,
The editorial keeps saying that there's going to be some link between these different divergent time periods from all these different books, that there's going to be some link that brings them all together, so...
Right.
I don't know what that means. But I don't know if that means that this book will always be set in the past, or if they are going to, at some point, all the books are going to be in the same timeline.
Okay, yeah, my note said enjoyable. I don't know if this is my type of thing, but it was well done. No rhyming, because I knew Matt's big thing is like, if it's rhyming, I'm not reading this book. And then I said, I see the Game of Thrones idea in it. I'm only a couple chapters into Game of Thrones. And then I like the idea there were lots of players and lots of ways that this book can go.
Yeah. This is kind of one of my surprises for the week. I liked it better than I thought I would because lately I never have been a fan of Cornell. I forget who mentioned it last week, but someone said that he writes everyone like a snarky British person, and I feel that that's true, but I feel like there was a little bit less. It was still really prevalent. I kind of liked that, Camelot's falling and, the last knight has Excalibur and they're taking Arthur away to Avalon and they're like, wait, take the sword, and they're like, no, leave it here, and then they throw it in the water and Xanadu's like, oh, saw this. And I thought that was funny, but then, the third more time that he used that word in the book, it was like, can I give you a thesaurus, Mr. Cornell? I'm sure British people use other words than the word sod. I don't know.
That's a Battlestar Galactica Fracky syndrome. Right?
Yeah, I guess.
He's substituted. He could, get from Ennis or somebody.
I guess. I mean, that's kind of an English majory nitpick. It was just, I don't know.
I'm an English major.
I don't know.
The one thing Dan mentioned, and I thought it too, and he just reminded me, is that this kind of reminds me a lot of Marvel's Shield. How does it tie into the future? There's obvious tie of S.H.I.E.L.D. into the future in Marvel, but it's set in the past, and that's set in...
and the Demon Knights will then tie into Stormwatch, which is very similar to S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
We shall see.
Conspiracy theorist.
Oh, there we go. Great. I'll redump it on Marvel. Way to go. Thanks. I'm kidding.
This woman was in S.H.I.E.L.D.
She was in Thunderbolts.
Nick's waving his hammer at you guys.
Oh. Okay.
Every time you say something bad about Marvel, I'm going to wave the hammer.
Okay. Okay, next up, Frankenstein, Agent of Shade. I thought it was very good. It was pretty much what I had expected it to be. I thought the art matched the story. At first I was reading, I'm like, a little scratchy, little rough, but... In reality, it's a monster book. It's not supposed to be neat and clean and tidy. So I thought that worked. And it introduced the players, and I love the Ray Palmer little cameo. I thought that was a neat way to get him into the DCU since he's not going to be the Atom, I guess. We're getting Ryan Choi back.
I think that's more than a cameo. I think that's
Right, but I don't know if he's going to be... Yeah, but that's going to be his role, but I don't know if he's going to be
with superhero, or is he just going to be a consultant?
Do we know if he's ever been the Atom?
It's not stated, but I mean, I don't see why he couldn't have been. I mean, we don't know when this takes place.
Getting in and out of the new...
Yeah, the miniaturization.
Miniaturization and teleportation, so I imagine he's...
He's at least invented the technology.
Yeah.
So maybe he just passed it on to Ryan and that's it.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I liked this a lot.
You did like it?
Yeah, I liked it a lot, but again, most people probably wouldn't pick this up because it's a monster book, and usually they, like Frankenstein...
It's a monster with a Gatling gun. Come on now. And a sword.
He does have a Gatling gun. True, but that's not also in the book. But again, if you're picking up another monster thing, see, I would... See, many people, like I said, they don't usually pick up monster books. This was good. See, I would not pick up Hulk versus Dracula. Sorry. Okay.
This was the biggest surprise for me, and it was the most fun for me. Dracula and Father Time, a little girl with pigtails.
And a mask. I love the domino mask for no apparent
reason.
It's
just awesome, and it's just so fun and
bizarre.
Bizarre and quirky. I love the art. It was just awesome.
The little minions that only last 24 hours, and just all the little twists.
She reminded me of the girl from Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
Now, so I didn't like the art.
Okay.
But I'm going to read issue 2 because it didn't make that cut. It's not that bad. But I have a problem with Frankenstein, who's a monster, walking around having philosophical debates about artificially creating life for a short time span and what that does to the world. Like,
well, because he was great. Like, he knows that. But he knows the hazards.
Frankenstein novel is completely different than
He's not as
super intelligent.
They even make a reference in that he quotes Milton when he's inside Shade. And that's from the original. That's from Shelley.
And that was another thing that threw me, was the literary quote in the beginning.
Yeah.
It's from the novel, yeah. But I thought it was really great. I thought it was better than I thought it would be. Yeah. I also didn't really like the art that much. It's a little too scratchy, but I mean, it fits with monsters and demons.
And Lemire gets a second shot, just based on his name alone.
Yeah,
he gets a second issue.
I really liked the Morrison series that took place during Seven Soldiers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that absolutely.
I didn't read the Flashpoint Frankenstein series. And,
okay,
you know,
it was fun.
I knew you guys were saying that you thought a lot of those ideas would carry over.
They didn't.
Okay.
They didn't
all right. That's fine. Because I read this and I was like, oh man, this picks right up from Seven Soldiers.
Yeah,
this is fun.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. But I mean, the Flashpoint one was just fun. I mean, if you you'd probably like it. It's just as if you like
a lot of characters.
And I thought Liefeld drew the one dude towards the end, the naked dude with all the pouches. He was like purplish towards the end. The guy, the big bad that shows up right at the end.
See, Matt, did you even read the Hulk versus Dracula?
No.
Okay, good.
No. You were out if you had read it.
Maybe
I don't remember who you're talking about, Matt. We're looking at it here.
You're confusing your books now.
That's
you're
awesome.
Scratching
that's
purple
awesome.
Pouchy Man is in a different book.
I mean, just look at
he
that.
He might have been.
Yeah.
We don't know what you're reading, but it's somewhere else.
Yeah. Different book.
Yeah, I think...
I could be confused.
And the little old
that out.
Yeah.
I will say I'm probably closer to Matt's opinion on this. And again, I'm with Matt. It gets a second pass for me because it is Jeff Lemire. And it's one of those, I see the idea and where the idea can go and how it could be a really good book. It was just that for a first issue, I wouldn't say it really knocked my socks off the way that some other issues did.
But do you know who's going to like this book? Joe Fellow. Art by Alberto Ponticelli. So we miss you, Joe.
Did you get that right?
Joe will let us know.
Yeah, Joe will correct us.
Okay, next up, Green Lantern. Now, as someone trying to sell this book, not that it's hard to sell the book, but I had to ask everybody, have you been reading Green Lantern? Because I definitely don't think this is a good jumping on point for Green Lantern. It's tying in right where it left off, right where the regular Green Lantern left off, right after War of the Lanterns, which is great because it's been wonderful. Everybody's been enjoying it. But I had to give a little, 2-minute summary of what has gone on before so people could understand why Sinestro has a Green Lantern ring, why Hal doesn't have a Green Lantern ring. So I thought it was good. A summary page would have been a good idea. The only other thing I thought it was, after reading some of the other ones, especially like Deathstroke, where you got a complete story, an introduction to a character, this one felt a little light. There wasn't as much story as it seems like some of the other books have had.
Yeah. This was Geoff Johns' part one of six, even more so than Justice League number one was. I gave it 1 star, and that was just me being nice. I've kind of quit on Green Lantern. I quit right before War of the Green Lanterns, and after reading this, I kind of reaffirms why I quit. And I only gave it the 1 star because I like Doug Monkey, however you pronounce it. I like his art, but I didn't really think he didn't really have anything spectacularly cool to draw in this issue. I mean, there's the cool page with Sinestro fighting one of his core members, but that was about it. I guess I'm just tired of seeing Sad Sack Hal and, oh, you know, I'm somewhere in my 20s or 30s, but I act like I'm 12. Oh, I don't know how to pay rent. I don't know how to do any of this. And yeah, like, I know he's been off world for a couple of months, but I feel like there's a different way they could have explored that dynamic rather than making him look like an oaf.
He was also dead.
Well, but that was a long time ago.
You
maybe
don't that's when you're dead.
I know, right?
Books,
right.
I mean, get over it.
But I mean, that was a long time ago in the timeline. Perhaps who knows? I guess I miss when Green Lantern was about fighting cosmic stuff and not cosmic stuff that was other Lantern Corps. I miss when it was like, oh, Kanjar Roe is gonna bang his cosmic gong again, like. I know that sounds completely ridiculous, but still,
is
I just
Gorilla Bob now?
No,
I'm
we're getting to Gorilla Bob. That's later.
Far more looking forward to Green Lantern Corps.
He was in the panel.
Okay.
With the Purple Woman
next week.
Yep.
Anybody else?
I'm fairly new to Green Lantern. Actually, the last thing I read of Green Lantern, I think, it was Wanted Hal Jordan. And you told me when I came in that it would be kind of might be a little difficult to jump on. I didn't have too much of an issue. I mean, you had to understand certain things, but it was an alright jumping on. I mean, I didn't, there, but nothing really happened too much to, you know, confuse you. So as Ryan said, I mean, it was, I don't know, just kind of blah.
So as someone who had Green Lantern on a short leash, I'm definitely gonna get number two. Because this, to me, was more of a soap opera drama kind of book than it was a cosmic book. It was a lot about Hal adjusting to life without powers, and I thought that was really cool. I thought, you know, like, the guy's broke. They've addressed the fact that he's been in outer space fighting aliens and not had the need for a car or money or anything, and now he's like, how do I get my life back together? What do I do? And then the twist ending with somebody showing up just was kind of like, huh, I wonder how that's going to play out. Like,
but
they're going to have to work together. Mm-hmm.
But the end, did you think it was it's coming too soon?
Yes.
Me too. Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's coming too soon, but I don't think it's going to be able to be resolved.
Yeah, Jeff
okay. Quickly. It's going to be.
If he does it in two, and,
no.
Yeah,
I don't see that.
See, I'm kind of the exact opposite of you, Ryan. Yeah. I'm okay with it being Geoff Johns part one of six because I enjoy Geoff Johns part one of six. Yeah. And I think with the Green Lantern, he's kind of making a saga. You know, it's like the saga of Hal Jordan. And while it definitely reads like old DC, you know, in the sense of a lot of these stories, they have a lot more story contained between the covers than what Green Lantern did. I'll give you that. But it's just a continuation of Hal's story, and I've really been enjoying Hal's story. So for me, it was fine. I will say, I definitely understand Colin's concerns with trying to push this on new readers, because DC has told us the whole point of the new 52 is to start fresh and try to get as many readers as we can.
Right.
And it's like we were saying, Green Lantern is a great book, but how do you sell this book on somebody who just walked in off the street saying, I want all the number ones, please?
if you just saw the movie or the movie on DVD, you open the first page and you're like, what?
It's more like how things used to be.
I think it's fine for the movie. I mean, you know who Sinestro is in the movie. If you saw the movie, he was a Green Lantern, so it's not that crazy. The Guardians looked pretty cruel in the movie. They're pretty cruel in this book. Hal Jordan being a goofball in this book. Hal Jordan being impulsive in the movie. Hal Jordan being impulsive in this book. Him being a hero and then running out and, you know, punching that guy without thinking first. That's another movie/comic. I think it works for the movie. I don't think it works for 52.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I agree, too, Nick, with your comment you made on Facebook a while ago about the Guardians being the villains of the Green Lantern universe.
Yep.
And Johns plays that up so well, and I really enjoy it. I want
the
core
villains in every story. I mean, they do things that are far worse than anything the villains do.
Yeah, and I just want, and it, like what they do to Ganthet in this book. Yeah. I didn't see that coming. What I want now, what I'm hoping this is leading to, is the Green Lantern Corps rising up against the Guardians. I know it's probably tacky and cliche, but if that's where he's leading me, that's where I want to go.
See, I don't really think that's tacky, because that's what I wanted at the end of Blackest Night, and we sort of almost got that, and then we didn't.
We are getting a book called Green Lantern New Guardians.
We are. I'm excited to see where that goes.
I also, not a big Hal Jordan fan, I think he's too Boy Scottish. Just like...
What?
Boy Scottish.
He's Scottish? He's a little more Irish than Scottish.
That's very Sean Connery.
Scouty.
You probably shouldn't read Flash, then.
Aw.
I just haven't liked him as a character. I understand why they're using him and stuff, but I didn't get the whole, like, can't pay. Why is he renting the house? I thought he,
he's pretty much down on his luck.
He spent, basically what they're trying to say in the book is, Hal Jordan has spent so much time playing superhero, being the Green Lantern, he has ignored all of his responsibilities at home. And now that he doesn't have the ring, he has to worry about things like, I have no job, how do I make money?
How do I pay rent?
See, I also like these DC twists, but I don't get that one.
Did you like the book?
I did. Overall, I liked the book, but just that little, like, Sinestro getting the ring, I liked that. But just outside of the actual, see, I didn't find that Green Lantern. Like, usually that's, like, not a Green Lantern thing where the guy loses his powers and then he has to deal with that. Isn't that usually, like, Flash or something?
You'd have to read the two books before, but...
Also, I thought if you killed somebody with the Green Lantern ring, that the Guardians know about it pretty quick.
I don't know.
They haven't really addressed that name. It's like they gave them the ability to do that at the end of Sinestro Corps War, but they've never really addressed that in any of the comics, like whether the Guardians know. I think it's kind of assumed that the ring keeps a record. But I don't know that they've ever really mentioned it.
What was her name? Larissa? Was that one that became a Red Lantern briefly? That she killed a Sinestro Corps member. Now, granted, there were other Green Lanterns there at the time, but there was a record there. And even when Hal went crazy, the ring knew he was using his ring for things that he wasn't supposed to, and they told the Guardians.
Right.
I don't remember where, but I do remember reading a book where someone tried to... Like you said, you're looking at the task log almost of the ring and trying to find out where someone went. And it said something like task log locked or location locked or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think the ring records everything. Yeah. It's just kind of one of those things that for the hardcore Green Lantern fans is just kind of understood, but not really something they mention a lot.
I'm sure they trust Sinestro.
Does the ring fly back to the Guardians themselves?
No, it usually
fly back to Mogo.
Went to Mogo, or else it went immediately to the replacement.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
Are the Green Lanterns having a wiretapping scandal? Is that what's happening?
Basically,
are razor tattles falling on everybody?
You've not been reading Green Lantern?
Yeah, they have the Alpha Lanterns. That's what they do.
Yeah, essentially, the Guardians are like. They claim to be all for the peace of the galaxy, and really they're kind of being space Hitlers. So.
Space Hitlers.
Their pragmatism is starting to become their undoing.
Okay. Yes.
In the cartoon DVDs they release, the rings fall. The rings go back to the Guardians.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Dan has to leave, but he was one of the fans of Mr. Terrific. So let's jump ahead to Mr. Terrific.
I think there was one other person at the table.
Okay.
Ryan.
Okay.
Thank
so
you.
Before you leave, go.
Okay. Why I liked Mr. Terrific? Two reasons. It was the first 52 book I had read that actually had an origin to it, so you could come in and know what was going on. And secondly, it was fun, and it was there. I thought Demon Knights was fun, but this was fun in a sort of a Spider-Man way, in that Mr. Terrific had a good time being Mr. Terrific, and he had a sort of a sad backstory, but why he's doing what he's doing now, I thought really. Kind of gave more life to the book.
Okay, you can go now. We'll trash your opinion after you leave.
I like the artwork too. I just want to throw that in that I've seen and yeah, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name. It's an Italian name.
Joe!
Gianluca Gugliotti, I believe.
That works.
I've seen him on just a few books, usually fill-ins. It's a different kind of line work that I like. It's very loose. Everybody seems very sort of flexible, and it's like a very loose look to it. And look for one other JSA character cameo in it.
Yeah,
possibly two.
When does it take place, time-wise?
Present day, I think.
Don't really...
We'll probably... I don't know if we'll spoil the cameos, but I think there are two.
See, I totally missed it, so...
We shall talk later, then.
Oh, you're right. I didn't catch that one. All right, good.
You didn't catch the mail, right?
Well, we can give away the one.
Yeah, we can give away the one. That's not a spoiler. They say her name.
Yeah, because it's... Well,
yeah, well, yeah. So, I mean, really, they're not really...
The one female lead who's in it, I missed completely, but it's Power Girl. So very interesting that they, you know, people have been saying, "Oh, what are they going to do?" Well, she's in the book. So,
and the second one that I'm referring to, for the hardcore JSA fans out there, there's a boy at the party whose name is Joaquim.
Yeah.
Wait, what? I missed that.
And my assumption was Joaquim Thunder.
I hope.
Because I don't know if it's Joaquim. I think they call him. I thought there was a twist on it.
I thought it was spelled the same way. They just don't say what his last name is, so I am...
They also don't say what the relationship is there.
Yeah.
Why he's there.
And it's probably not, but I just, you know...
Hope.
Yeah.
That's sort of why I picked up Mr. Terrific, was I figured if, since there's no JSA book in the first 52, that was where they were all going to appear, or that might, you know, launch it.
Okay. Yeah, it was one book. It was weird. I didn't mind it. I liked how they gave the origin. The art didn't bother me at all. Just when I got to the end, I was just kind of like, and I'm looking, Sean sent me his, he couldn't be here, he's playing hockey, but he sent me his reviews. I'd forgotten to get it. So, but jumping on this one, he says he didn't care for it. He felt the writing was a little bland and thought it needed to be a little better to be able to handle, you know, withstand this relaunch. He thought it really needed to hit it out of the park, and it didn't for him.
Mr. Terrific?
Yeah.
I thought it was the worst book of the week.
Okay. Yikes.
You know just what?
Angry.
Wow. But worst
there
book
is
of
no
week.
Joaquim Thunder. It was Jamal.
His name is Jamal.
Sorry. I apologize.
Boo.
I know.
Okay, you don't get to talk to her. Turn off his mic.
People are leaving the podcast to go buy the book.
Yeah.
Shows her out.
And now they're going to get home. And
see, I didn't catch
reversed,
that.
But yeah. So,
very generically, the reason I did not like it was I thought the writer was throwing his politics in my face way too much, and I don't care for that.
I did catch that one comment early on. Yeah, I was where it was, well, the early when he saved... The thing in London where it was just, what?
Hey, how about saying thank you, Mr. Black Man? I mean, literally, that was almost word for word what he said in the book. And I just was like...
I took that a little more of, you know, they were saying, are you really the third smartest man in the world? And then someone else says, so who's number one and number two?
And I wanted to know that as well.
Well, yeah, I wanted to know that, but I took his response more as saying, like, well, you know, instead of a backhanded compliment, you could have just been like, thanks, generic superhero, see ya.
Yeah, but why couldn't they just said, thanks, superhero, or thanks, dude? Why do you have to throw out that?
I don't know.
I just don't like the politics.
I understand. I didn't really see any politics in
the fact. He's said that since the beginning of this is terrific, that he's the third smartest man.
Yeah.
I've always assumed that we're talking about Lex Luthor and Batman, or Lex Luthor and Savannah, but who do you guys think the top one and two are?
Yeah, I definitely think Luthor's there.
Luthor's in there. I don't know who.
I would say Luthor and Batman.
Yeah.
Bruce Wayne.
I don't know if
Bruce Wayne's smart as much as he's like more reasoning
clever
skills
yeah.
and detective skills, not raw intelligence.
Ray Palmer, Tuo Morrow.
Yeah, I was thinking Tuo Morrow.
Dr. Light, is that Tuo Morrow?
No.
No, he's the android guy.
Yeah.
What about Steel?
He's up there.
He's
don't
up
know
there.
If he exists yet.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the smartest guy that's had his own movie.
You know what this way?
Depends on if we're talking about the Shaquille O'Neal.
I agree with Dan. I like the book. I mean, I thought it was a little uneven, but it was a lot better than I thought it would be.
I guess one thing I didn't like was it was an awful fast, the change to the bad guy, where at the end what happens, there hadn't been enough setup to make you care for the character to have a big switch like that make you go, oh no, it was just more of a, oh, okay.
Although I agree with
you
on that one.
If you are a JSA All-Star Squadron fan, you want to pick up number two just from the little teaser for, because They say brainwave.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's. I don't know a whole lot, but I know a little bit.
That's one of two I won't be getting number two of.
Okay. Next one up is the Joe Fellow special. I'm really sad he's not here to talk about it. I was really kind of hoping for him. Is Grifter. I know Joe is very excited about the book. My review was just one. I had no knowledge of this character at all beforehand other than the Flashpoint mini. And it was an interesting setup, but I really just kind of wrote down, I'm interested to hear from people who know the character if it made the, you know, did anything for you. I didn't know about the whole hearing voices and
was
all
he,
that.
Was he made for Flashpoint?
No.
He was before this?
Yeah, he was supposed to be the head of Wildcats. But okay. I never read Wildcats.
So. I'm interested to read the old stuff because he was cool in Flashpoint. I thought this book was well written, well, you know, the art was good. But I have no idea about the character. It's interesting enough that I want to see what happens to him.
If only he was drawn by Giuseppe Camuncoli. Yeah. But yeah, maybe that would have made it a better book. Well. Yeah, I've heard it many times.
It didn't interest me enough to keep with it, I don't think. It wasn't a bad comic. It was well written. It was an interesting story. But I don't have the connection to Grifter that I have with some others. And because I don't have the connection, it didn't blow me away so much that I definitely wanted number two.
Yeah.
And I like the love twist at the end. I like his wife and, you know, the fact that, you know, he thought he was out for so much time, but he was really out for
17 days instead of 17 hours or whatever.
And
yeah.
She's like, oh, I'm done with the cops.
Yeah. It was a lot of, and just looking at Sean's review of it, it just bland.
Sean.
Sisson.
I was interested in it. I wanted to see what they're going to do with it, but I liked the origin and had more reason to care for the character more in the Flashpoint version of Grifter than this.
Yeah.
I just didn't really see why I should care. And, you know, I like the Flashpoint origin because it was just sort of like, hey, he's a commando and he has guns and he does stuff.
They did reveal that he is an ex-Special Forces agent at one point in the book.
But I'd rather see that than whatever these aliens are.
Well, I think the problem is they really are trying to develop the character because he's probably not very well known.
Yeah.
It's going to take a couple issues to get to the point where they're really telling a story as opposed to developing the character.
Oh, I can see that, definitely. And I'm fine with the way they're developing the character. I just didn't really feel like I had a reason to care. Like, oh, he's on a plane. Now he's in the ocean. Now he's 17 months later. Woo.
17 days.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, no, but I agree.
I also thought the pacing was really weird. That's why when back and forth, like, from, okay, he jumps out of the plane, splash, and then flashback, flash forward, flash point, flash what? Where did we go? I don't understand what happened. And so I didn't bother to give it a second read. I mean, that would be my litmus test, would be to go back and read it again. And, okay, Ryan, slow down. Read it again, but...
Yeah, reading 13 books in one night was a bit of a...
I'm sorry, well, this is, you want to do this Friday night?
This is new for me, actually. No, no, no.
Yeah,
no, I like it, but it is different.
Yeah,
it's fun,
no,
different, yeah.
You need to figure out how to slow down time.
Okay, fine. I'll add a day in between Wednesday and Saturday.
So it'll be reverse column.
There we go.
Reverse
column. Okay. Next up, I'd be talking about Marvel. next up, Legion Lost.
Did anyone like Legion Lost?
Nope.
No.
Wait, let me clarify that. The old Abnett and Lanning hardcover that's out that was the 12 issues, that's phenomenal. This was...
Are you a Legion guy, Nick?
I've read Legion for a lot of years, yeah.
It was what? Well done, but I didn't care.
Yeah, I didn't know who
I've done stories like this in the past where they come to the present, and they've been executed better than this. I like it when they're working in the shadows, and they have a plan, and this was just like a big superhero story that just erupted in the past, you know, our present. And the fact that it was in our present, at least for this issue, was not that relevant.
Yeah, and I thought they could have used, like, maybe one or two more, you know, quote-unquote A-list. Yeah, it's like... You know, when Wildfire and Dawnstar are the most recognizable members of the
Tyrock.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tyrock, exactly.
Wasn't Lightning Lad in there?
No.
Nope.
Okay. I mean, I just read the Abnett Lanning stuff.
No founding members, no Brainiac.
Yeah, I just... That was the thing, like, when what few Legionnaires I know aren't in the book, it's hard to...
The Legion, to me, is like Marvel. It's DC's version of the X-Men, right? There's so many characters that you can have so many variations on it that you either have to be in love with the group or not.
Actually, the Shi'ar Guard are Marvel's version of
Legion.
Legion.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the whole premise of this book versus the other Legion book is that it's people from the future in the present,
right?
Not just like superheroes fighting supervillains or monsters or aliens. I really think that the cool part of this would be about you know, not the most powerful characters. So the thing that they got going on is they're from the future. So play up the future people in the present, and then that's a better book.
But isn't that why you have Booster Gold?
Yeah.
I'm not
going to sell soda.
I didn't read the book, but from what you're saying, you could still put a character that people care about. You don't need to fill it with all the secondary members of a team. Like, JLA, before the relaunch, had nobody that people cared about.
It was just Dawn of Troy.
It's just not as good as it should have been. If you're relaunching it, you should put people... I mean, I haven't read the book, and now I'm kind of like, oh, okay. Yeah. I'll put that at the bottom of the pile.
There you go. We're not trying to dissuade you, but just...
I'm sure there are Legion fans out there
that
are
loving
it.
Yeah.
But it's like we were saying earlier today with DC, the Legion is very difficult to break into if you're a new fan. It's not as easily accessible. And
I was thinking this would be an easier one to jump into because it's set in present-day DC versus the regular Legion that's in the future with all the goings-on.
I thought the same thing.
This wasn't that easy to decipher.
It's got a good creative team on it, too. Fabian and Nizia?
Pete Woods.
Pete Woods.
Pete's the artist. For Chad.
Can't all be home runs.
Right. Okay, so we already did Mr. Terrific, so Red Lanterns.
Ugh.
Well, we'll pass on you.
That was
first.
My biggest disappointment.
Really?
You
okay.
Know, I have to say, we'll start this positively. I am not what you would call the world's biggest Peter Milligan fan. A lot of his stuff kind of goes over my head. I have a hard time following it. I thought this was well written. It was clear. It was easy to follow. It was a great summary. It was actually kind of...
It actually gave you more backstory on the Red Lanterns than we've had through the other books.
It's almost what Green Lantern should...
And it has that fantastic two-page Dexter
And it's almost
page.
What Green Lantern should
I need a poster
been,
of that.
Just a primer and, like, where we're going. I loved it. I thought it was great. I'm not a big Red Lantern core fan with Peter Milligan attached. I didn't think it was going to be very good. And for me, this was one of my top three books of the week. So,
okay, Benjamin.
I don't really like this. There's a cat with blood.
That's Dexter. Oh, come on!
Wait, do you know his? Do you know his backstory?
Yes, he was a cat who got like abused.
Yes,
and then his owner. You don't think that's like one of the greatest stories for a comic book?
It's
character?
A blue cat.
I think the backstory is good. Okay. I guess. Yeah.
But
sorry,
like,
go ahead.
The backstory was fine, but it just didn't make me want to.
There was a review I read online that said it was, instead of rage, he was more whining.
Melancholy.
And but he even addressed that in the story, saying, why don't I feel this rage anymore? And then it shows him kind of reborn.
I thought the way that he got reborn, I thought that was kind of pathetic. It was kind of like, the thing that initially made him a Red Lantern was so drastic compared to what happened in that other scene.
I don't know if it was directly related
to
that.
It's not.
Yeah,
if
I don't
it
think
is,
it is.
It's kind of weak. And the best part of this book was no Lobo.
You know what? One of the things
coming.
Though that I read, you
is
know,
really
the internet calls it whining and melodramatic. I actually saw it more as a metatextual commentary on the popularity of the Red Lanterns to the comic fandom.
Yeah,
it's kind of like he's saying, I've become mainstream, and being mainstream has killed my street cred. That was kind of what I thought Peter Milligan was saying to me. He's like, I need to recapture what it is that made me cool as a Red Lantern. And reading it in that way, it made it a great, fun read for me.
You know, that cast the book in a different light for me, because I didn't even rate it. I read it, and I was like, I'm just going to...
Zilch.
Yeah, I wrote zilch on my sheet, yeah. I don't know. I guess maybe this is the main reason why I'm tired of all the multicolored lanterns, is because I feel like their emotions are so broad that you can apply it to different things. And I agree with what you're saying, though. I like your interpretation of it. But I just feel like, rage. Okay, I'm going to be really mad at something. Oh, wait, the thing I was really mad at is done.
Well, it's really hard to be mad all the time.
And I like that they addressed that, that he was like, oh, I'm not mad anymore. And I like that because he's not so mad anymore, the other Red Lanterns aren't, like, listening to him. And the other Red Lanterns don't even be able to seem to form cogent sentences like he does, which is okay, but... Yeah, I just don't really have. I don't have any motivation.
I think I had such dread because of Peter Milligan.
Yeah,
because he gets attached to a lot of projects I want to like.
Yeah,
and then I read him and I'm kind of like, I kind of feel like I'm not intelligent enough to get what he was trying to tell me.
Give an example of that.
Secret Seven. I mean, there were parts of Secret
Nobody
7.
Nobody knows what happened in Secret 7.
But that's the thing. Like,
I don't think Peter knows what happened.
But that's what I was expecting with Red Lanterns. I was like, oh my gosh, they put this guy on a Green Lantern book. And I'm not going to know what's going on. And I actually could follow everything. And I kind of think I got what he was trying to say.
I think Milligan and Morrison shared some mushrooms over Secret 7.
So, I just read Red Lanterns now. In the
16 seconds you've been talking.
And it was one of my biggest fears because the book...
Wrong color.
One of my biggest things I was angry about, potentially, would have been about monsters, where they're not relatable. You know, they're just anger personified. So, I don't know how that could sustain a book. I read it. I saw the origin, which... They spelled it out a little bit more than they have in the past. And what my takeaway was, this is Space Punisher.
This is the Punisher
of... Where a Good Green Lantern story was about situations that happen on each planet that they would, save or interrupt or whatever. This is going to be the same thing, but with, punishment involved. So I guess that's my takeaway, is that we're going to get a Space Punisher book.
Just don't give Marvel the idea.
And I kind of like the idea that to become a Red Lantern, you've had, a great wrong inflicted on you. Like, there's a tragic hero quality to becoming a Red Lantern that I really think is pretty cool. It's not just anger and blood spewing. There's, more to it.
To me, it's definitely worth picking up the second issue, in my opinion, but it's another one. There's another book we'll talk about, or do we hit Resurrection Man yet?
Next.
That I don't know how they're going to make it into an ongoing series. This, to me, would have been like Red Lantern 6 issues, or 6-issue mini, or a Green Lantern 4 story. I thought it would have been great, but I don't know how you're going to do this for potentially years, right? I don't know how you can tell
that story. That was my fear.
Yep. Okay, well, let's segue into Resurrection Man. Now, Resurrection Man, I remember the original one, it was kind of like each issue was a one-shot. I only read maybe the first three, where it was, he was reborn, he had this power, he went, and it didn't necessarily suit him for what was involved.
Right. Kind of like Dial H for Hero.
Kind of, yeah. He'd be reborn, he'd have he had an electricity power. Well, that's great, except he has to fight in the water, and it's, whatever problem he was presented with. So I read it. I don't know what to think of it.
So I'm big fans of the writer. Not gonna it's Abnett and Lanning. So automatically a second shot.
Making me nauseous, Nick. Stop it.
Dan, who's departed, it was a big fan of the original series. Even convinced me to buy the original. I think it was original 29 issues or 30 issues of that came out in the past. I thought it was cool. I thought it was interesting, but Again, how do you keep telling this story? How do you keep writing one and done stories of a guy getting random powers, fighting something and dying?
They focused on his power and how it felt new to him when he woke up, and how he reacted to it everywhere he was going. And so he tasted the metal in the teenager's piercings. I mean, they could play up on that, how it feels to have those powers.
But wouldn't that get old? I mean,
If they kill him every issue. I mean, if they kill him every issue, I can see how that would get old. Like you said, it's almost like a one and done, where it's like, he gets new power, he does this thing, he dies, and then we're going to do the same thing again next issue. I mean, if he dies every, if it's not set, I mean, maybe he's alive for 6 issues, then he dies and comes back. I think that could work.
So I haven't read the old stuff yet, but from what Dan told me, he died at the end of every issue in that original
in that original
Which
run.
Which kind of makes sense when you hear the gimmick for his powers. You
well,
would,
right,
I mean,
his name is Resurrection.
Right, but what's going to happen when he wakes up?
Well,
then, you know, that gets you to read the next
the
one.
The original story was so much more existential, though. I mean, it really was a lot of dwelling on what does it mean to never die, what is death, and that kind of stuff. This doesn't seem as much that.
So the one thing I'll say that gives cred to be something that can go on is there is some overarching discussion of people looking for him for a certain reason, like, you know,
for his soul,
for
yeah,
his
soul, undying
right?
soul.
Referencing, you know, we'll find him in, you know, the basement office, which
right
we can guess.
But that was just that whole thing on the plane was just weird.
Yeah, it was really like he's on the plane and then the
he
blonde,
rips it open the roof, and
it really wasn't. I didn't like it until I got to the end, and they sort of made more references to. I mean, they're making a lot of religious. Heaven and Hell
mm-hmm.
references
yeah.
here, which until that point at the end, that was when I was sold on the book, when I was like, all right. This
or if it was just a random monster trying to get him.
Yeah, if it was a random monster, then I would just be like, okay, who cares? But, you know, the one character they called Zoriel, which sounds like an angel name. I mean, Morrison had Zoriel in his JLA run, and he kind of established almost like a pantheon of angels in that run. So, I mean, if they're going to go back to that idea of what it means to have life and death and the afterlife in the DC universe, I'd be on for it. It kind of reminded me of Zombie. Almost like
Zombie
the...
I didn't like that.
Oh. I mean...
Now, the other thing I thought it's interesting about this book, and it has nothing to do with this story,
mm-hmm.
was this is the best look we got at the Mystery Woman.
Yes, it was.
Out of the first 26 books, this is the best look you've got. I mean, she's dead
just
center right
claws.
In your face with long, weird claws.
What is going on? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that...
That's
the best shot you've seen of her. I mean, we've seen her fly now, and now we've seen her up close.
This is the first time in 2-3 weeks that I've given a care at all about the purple hooded woman.
I like to find her because I like Where's Waldo. But
yeah, I mean, as
she
I was
seems to be getting
her.
Like closer though. Like she was more at the back as that first week.
So
now she's like really. Like, she stands out a lot more.
So does that mean at Voodoo number one she's going to be?
Yeah, like what I was saying with.
Justice
what was
League
it? Batman
two,
and Robin.
Success.
She was just right there. Yeah. Like there was no real looking for her.
Yeah, I found her.
Oh, that's
or Batman and Batwoman.
Okay, so Sean liked it. He says it wasn't great, but it didn't just enough for him to pick up the second issue. So after Resurrection Man, Suicide Squad.
Yes. Best book of
the okay, go fire away, Benjamin.
Why?
I don't know. I just like the twisted villains. Like, they have bombs in their neck, and they will die if they do not complete their mission. They're being tested by torture, and I just think it's crazy, but I like it.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree with you. I thought it was awesome. I thought...
You need to keep those two away from each other, by the way.
you're halfway through the book, and you're like, oh, wow, this is pretty good. And all of a sudden, that's their test. And you're like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
It's fun when you figure that out. Like, I figured it out probably about halfway through the interrogation, what they were doing.
Yeah.
And I did think it was really, really cool.
Yeah. See, I was thinking that way, but then when King Shark bit the guy's arm off. I'm like, it probably wasn't going as planned.
That's the cool part.
But I know we were talking about the Harley scene.
Yeah,
go.
They made Harley a player.
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
She used to be, you know, like it was like a gimmick and it was the cartoon, okay. But when they show her dancing and talking to Mr. J, and you think she's dancing with the Joker, and then the very next panel it flips around.
That makes me more interested to reread.
I want a Harley. I want a Harley Quinn.
I don't
want to
know.
No,
I want a Harley.
Harley's
Quinn
not. Harley's not just normal. Oh, I'm Harley. She's
she's a real character now.
Harley's backstory. Yeah. She was a psychiatrist in the hospital.
She was never at this level.
Yeah.
You never really got.
But in like
the
Gotham City Sirens, she wasn't.
Arkham Asylum video game was.
That poop crazy.
Just read it and come back and tell me whether you think like
Suicide Squad was one book that, in looking at the books and looking at what's coming, was one of the few books that I
sorry.
I didn't see anything. Don't worry. It was one of the few books that I just basically decided just on reading the previews and looking at the covers, that I was just gonna be reading ongoing, which meant I had to get two covers of it, and
all these different
covers, Green Lantern and The Crying is Killing Me, all this stuff. But I decided just by looking at Harlan on the cover that this is the book that I want to read going forward for at least six months to a year.
Is Harley on the cover had the exact opposite on me. Not that I don't enjoy the outfit, but I'm like, do we really, like, have to pander to the fans?
Well, it might be the Arkham Asylum. I've been playing Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, and I don't.
I appreciate Harley more and more.
But I was just like, oh my god, what are they doing? Are they going to ruin this character? And then I read this, and it was just like, whoa.
Now, you were a fan of the Ostrander original Suicide Squad stuff, right? I mean, how does it compare?
It's definitely kind of taken up a notch, I think. Like it's,
I think it's more modern. I think you have to. Like the jumper cables to the face.
The '80s. The Ostrander one was very much a product of the '80s.
Yeah,
it's that kind of A-team, Dirty Dozen feel. Mm-hmm. Like it's not like, hey, we're taking a group of sadistic killers and turning them loose. It was kind of like they were all kind of gray area.
I always thought the Thunderbolts was kind of taking Suicide Squad to the next step, and I think this version of Suicide Squad is taking Thunderbolts one level further. I think they just kind of like let me outdo you in terms of but the bomb in the neck is cool because in Thunderbolts all they can do is shut down their powers.
It's very Escape from New York-ish.
Yeah.
Nick, you got anything?
Yeah, my favorite quote, we're done here, bag 'em, and that's to King Shark. And then he says, we're going to need a bigger bag.
Yeah. That was good.
It was just good. Like, I really didn't expect to like it, but it was really cool. And I liked the cliffhanger at the end. That might have been one of the best cliffhangers this week. I was like, all right, let's go.
Well, not even a cliffhanger, but just a setup.
Yeah, a setup.
Then issue two is when the story's really going to take off. Yeah.
They shot them out of a plane.
Yeah.
The only thing that I didn't like about it was... The only thing I didn't like about it was that the art jumped.
Yeah, but now who did the art? Where's Joe?
Oh.
We need Federico Da... Oh, you can't move it when I'm trying to read that.
Dallocchio.
There we go. Joe, we need you, man. What?
Well, she's always had a giant hand.
Yeah, that's her big hammer. That's her gimmick.
Why did comic book companies...
No, not like that, Nick.
She's a
But it was good. And they are doing something new with Harley as opposed to Mr. Jake.
Yeah.
That's what made it better.
It wasn't this silly
cartoon girl. It was.
She still had a sick sense of humor about her, but it was different, you know?
Yeah.
So, she was pretty smart in Arkham, right?
The video game?
Yeah. Maybe that's where I'm getting
the video game.
I haven't played the video game, so this was very new to me.
She's good in it. She's good in the game, and I'm playing it right now and going on. I mean, it's just Arkham Asylum and Arkham City. Not as much when I read the in-between. I haven't played the game yet. It's just a new spin on Batman, and it's a much darker tale. It's a much more...
Yeah.
I don't want to say mature. That's not the right term. But for lack of a better term, mature view on everything. And it's not like, you said, the gimmicky, cartoony. And I think we're kind of getting that a little bit with Detective last week, with the Joker and Detective.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely not... the Joker of, you know, the last couple...
I love that they're...
He's been getting crazier and crazier and crazier as it goes on.
Like, on the one hand, there's Batman Inc. and all the elements of that they're incorporating. Then on the other side of Batman, they're reintroducing all of this gothic horror stuff, like what you got in Detective.
Mm-hmm.
That's the stuff I'm digging.
I feel like with Harley is that, you know, she was Dini's character. He created her for Batman the Animated Series. But he's written her for so long that... Or, you know, people have respected that interpretation of the character for so long that she hasn't really done anything new.
It's
good to see.
It was just one of those things that prior to reading this issue, you always think of Harley Quinn as harmless.
Yep.
It's very easy to see her and Ivy getting together and have crazy Thelma and Louise
team up. Let's go shopping.
Yeah. Like, I never thought of Harley Quinn as a villain.
Yeah.
She was a villain in this.
You read Suicide Squad and Harley Quinn is a villain.
Yeah. It was cool.
Okay. Now, no, just down to the last one. My surprise book of the week. I went into this, I saw the cover, I went, oh, I don't even want to read this. Then I read an online review that was really good. So actually I jumped this one up after that and read it out of order, out of my alphabetical order, not that exciting. But Superboy, it was really, for me, it was better than expected. And I said it definitely is going to tie in with the Teen Titans, and Teen Titans wasn't a book I really even cared to read now I want to read it, which is good. One thing that jumped out at me, the one guy's name was Zaniel.
Yeah,
and
that does.
What kind? And I wrote, what kind of name is that? Why do they always have to... okay, fine.
Can't question that.
He said Kryptonian. But then I said a good origin story. I liked that it had Fairchild from Gen 13 is going to be in it. I thought that was neat. He also had Rhodes Wilson, who was Ravager. I just liked it. I liked everything about the book.
That sets up the potential Deadshot crossovers.
Or Deathstroke.
Deathstroke.
Yeah. I enjoyed the whole book.
Fairchild, I've read
every, yeah, because it's
every
her name, Caitlin.
Since 94.
Oh. She said that, yeah.
Okay. So it's a complete dump of that. In as much as like this is probably the most severe continuity reboot, short of the other Superman books. That all said, it looks really cool. And frankly, the character could really use the polishing up. You know, people don't really care about the Hawaii years and the jacket and the gloves.
What about the Ravers?
Maybe of the week, of what I rushly read. We have no idea who the human donor was. We know for sure part of him was alien. And then it says, so unless Superboy's human cells originated in a deeply pathological, megalomaniacal narcissist, the likes of which the world has never known, it means we did something wrong.
Right. Well, to set that up was because he walked past someone instead of saving them, and the comment they made was, you know, Superman, with his DNA, he would have been naturally inclined to save them, unless, and the thing is, they don't know who the human donor is. The person who was in charge of it was killed without revealing it. So it's one of those, we know who it is, but they don't.
What time is this?
I don't know.
Is it present? Or?
Lex.
I think it bounces back and forth a little bit. I don't know.
I think it was my biggest surprise of the week.
Yeah.
My biggest two problems I had going into it, and they were both, you know, not real, but the cover was like, oh, he's a robot now.
Right.
Oh. Second is, it's Scott LaBelle, who has just a horrible reputation from the end of the 90s. And
but I think it's an unfounded reputation.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I see it's a reputation. Yeah. I don't know. First thing I've ever read by him.
The trains ran on time, you know.
I loved the book. I thought it was good. I liked the origin.
Yeah, I want to see where it's going. I like that.
It was
a
dense
book,
too.
Yeah, there was a lot. I think that's why, and that's why when I compared it to Green Lantern, Green Lantern seemed a little light.
Yeah, definitely.
And this is easy. This is definitely new reader friendly.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you need to know nothing other than that he's half Superman.
Yep. No, I thought
and
that was really good.
Actually, as a new reader, it'd be better because you wouldn't.
Right. You might not know the Lex part. Yeah.
I didn't know the Lex part.
You would not know it.
I have no clue. I have never read a Super book except for Action last week and this.
We told you to read that.
I said I have time to read one book before I come back. You said read Superboy. I'm not a big Superman fan. It wasn't. I'm torn on if I'm going to read it ongoing or not. I'm not 100%. Now you tell me Lex, I'm more inclined, but I wasn't suspecting Lex at all. I'm going in as a blank.
Okay,
page.
That's made it funny when he didn't save the person.
See, that's what I was thinking though, is that, you know, they haven't said who it is, but that doesn't necessarily mean
we're all assuming.
Well, we're assuming,
yeah, we're all
but based on what Nick just read,
I agree completely.
Well,
yeah,
but the other thing is. I thought the other way that could have been played was he was so smart he knew it was virtual reality.
True, true. No, he did know that.
They did kind of point out that he's very smart in that
and
book.
He's always figuring it out.
Right.
He does the same thing.
He's very smart. Where's that DNA coming from?
Who is Lex Luthor?
Superman has Kryptonian super intelligence.
Yes, he does.
Well, Lex Luthor, we just said, was one of the smartest people in the universe.
So really, he should be smarter than both of them.
Maybe Mr. Terrific is going to be four now.
What is it, double? So it adds? It's additive? Okay. Stacking.
I thought if you were going to do Superboy, do the other Superboy, not this one.
Which other Superboy?
Why?
Isn't there two Superboys?
No.
Are you talking about Clark Kent when he was a boy?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, you don't want to get into Superboy Prime. No, not right now. Not in the relaunch.
I'm talking about Connor. Yeah.
This is Connor.
This is black T-shirt Connor.
Yes.
That
will become black T-shirt Connor.
Yes.
Okay, because I did not see that. I thought that was like the leather jacket half cut off.
Same thing.
Same
guy.
That's the problem.
Yes.
I really did like the black and red sort of like bio suit thing he's wearing on the last page. And yeah. I love R.B. Silva's art.
The cover scared me. I don't think he did the cover.
No, he didn't.
So the cover being the only image we had early going into it scared me. As soon as I was reading it, I thought it was great.
The quality of the cover wasn't bad. I just didn't like the image.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant. Yeah, no, no.
That made me more interested to read the new take on it because I was like, what is that? What are they doing to him? And what's wrong with his arm?
Now, I just want to read Sean's review just real quick. He just said, not a fan of the art, but from what I read, this was my surprise of the week. I really enjoyed this issue. It set up Superboy nicely and makes me look forward to Teen Titans. And I agree completely.
Yeah. See, I have to say for me, this... For over the 2 weeks, I can't decide which has been my favorite of all of the books, this or Animal Man.
Animal Man.
But I mean, if you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, it just blew me away. Now, I'm a big Superman fan, and I could probably guarantee that I loved Action Comics last week more than everybody. I wasn't here, but this was better for me than Action, and I just...
It's okay, Ryan.
I wasn't, but I loved Action.
Yeah, no, I know.
And
that's awesome. That means you love this even more.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting this, and they knocked it out of the park on this one.
I was saying that's your number one book of all 26.
Between that and Animal Man.
Has it been 26 or 27?
26. 27. There's only 12 mixed.
And I know everybody would say Animal Man, but for me, I truly like this.
I think Batgirl.
See, I'm not a big Superboy Bonner fan.
Batgirl?
And it was lukewarm, and I don't think I'd want to read it again.
Which one?
The Superboy.
Really? Okay.
I seriously thought that the Young Justice kids DC book had a better origin than this one did.
I was just gonna say that for the cartoon. It's pretty similar close to that.
Yeah.
We were discussing that before the podcast, the similarities.
And I can see why they would do the crossover.
But really, if you think about it, this is just an update of his original origin. Yeah. Just with
simple,
the
straightforward.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the original origin. They kind of gave you. After all this stuff had happened.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
But this kind of fits in with that.
There's a lot going on, but if you look at the original origin with Cadmus, Duplex, and who they thought the DNA was, but then Lex Luthor snuck his DNA out and snuck his in, this is easier. Trust me.
It was
the Cadmus guy, the head guy.
Oh, okay. No, it was actually Luthor.
But that's who they thought it was.
Oh, originally, yeah. Originally it was this doctor...
I don't remember which one he was.
Yeah. But like you said, compared to this, I mean, that was incredibly complicated.
And
ridiculous. This is very true.
The one carryover from the old DC that they put into this book that I loved, that they were just starting on, is the Rose Wilson Superboy relationship from Teen Titans.
Yeah. Yep.
I was loving where they were going with that in Teen Titans, and I'm glad to see they're kind of carrying it forward
and at least see how they interact with Cass next week. Right? Yeah. Because there was a lot of tension there in Teen Titans, and now we don't know where she is because she's now some wiener thief or something thief was in the solicitor.
Some sort of, I don't know, thief, basically. She steals things, which is interesting.
So what?
Talking about Wonder Girl.
Favorite of the 27 and looking forward to the most?
Oh, God. Don't make me pick.
I'd say Men of War and Wonder Woman.
See, I'd say Animal Man and Swamp Thing, but I'm a Vertigo guy, so those are just kind of natural.
What are you looking forward to next
week? Oh, the next week. Okay.
Oh.
Of the next batch?
Yeah.
I'm still really looking forward to Justice League Dark.
I've already had Men of War.
Do you mean next month?
I like the best in Wonder Woman.
Gotcha. Okay.
Oh, man.
Next week, okay. Azzarello and Cliff Chang.
Batman. Yeah, I got to give you... For next week, I'm looking forward to Batman the most.
Me too.
Yeah.
With all the stuff going on with Dick Grayson being Batman, I'm kind of curious about Nightwing. Though.
Yeah,
you just want to understand why he's got the blue, the red instead.
They
of
just
blue.
Said it looked. They thought it looked better. That was their whole reason.
I'm fine.
Careful with that, Nick. Oh no, he's strapping on the shield. Nick, now this was before we started recording, but in part of Nick's shipment this week was his official Captain America shield and Thor hammer.
Now, can you put all your textbooks in there to take him to school with you, Nick? Or?
Yeah, he's wearing it like a bat. Okay.
Before we jump to Marvel, because I know he wants to talk about
it. Yeah. What?
You guys were mentioning the timelines and how some books are present, future.
Right.
Does this have anything to do, and I don't know what you guys talked about last week about this, but, like, you know, at the end of Flashpoint, they're talking all the timelines have to hit.
Yeah.
Like, does this
we
have
don't
anything
know.
To
Your
do with those timelines?
Yeah,
it's up in...
We don't know yet.
Yeah.
I mean, they just dragged
If they definitely came out and said, this is this.
Probably depends on how
the woman is still.
Are.
Like, she's still creeping around. We don't know who she is or what's going on. The mystery hood woman who's in
I'm sure she'll be in all next week's books, too.
I think that's adding to the confusion.
DCU presents.
The cool thing about it being comic books, too, that they can do whatever they want with time. Like, they can bring it to wherever they want.
Morrison has a big chapter in his book.
So,
hyper time.
Yeah, so it doesn't really... They could all of a sudden say, well, we're just going to bring it back to where it was.
Right.
But now you're stuck because you understand the origin of the characters we made now, and then they can, you know, speed everything up so they can do whatever.
On that subject, going back to Legion Lost, probably the only valuable thing from that book was that they said that they had a hard time traveling through the Flashpoint barrier, which confirms that Flashpoint messed up time travel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've already editorially said there's no more time travel, but that... At least it was said somewhere.
There's no more edit.
No more booster? No more Rip Hunter? Oh.
We still have 52.
Crisis of Infinite Reboots.
You know, I was wondering about something. What if Booster never left? You know, remember how he went back to where he was supposed to be? If the Flash would have went back and changed everything, would Booster have just been lost?
I don't know. We'll never know.
I don't know.
Or maybe that's a future story.
Elseworld book.
Could be.
Did they ever compare what happened now with what was in the chalkboard at the end of... Was it the
they
end
showed
of,
it right at the end,
the,
yeah.
The,
they addressed everything that was in there.
The Greek girl, at the end of Booster Gold...
Yeah, I read that.
The very last issue of Booster, she gets...
Yeah,
her consciousness...
Like ghost, she wrote that.
Yeah, okay. She got pulled into
you know,
the...
Right. But some of that stuff I remember on the chalkboard, some of it she shouldn't have really known. I've noticed. Like,
yeah,
I think
you're right.
I think one thing was her
yeah.
saying Bruce. Like, something about Bruce Wayne.
Right.
She shouldn't really know who Bruce Wayne is.
I blame comic books.
Yeah. Okay. So that's enough DC. So we'll switch on to Marvel. I didn't read a lot of Marvel, only because I was kind of focusing on trying to get these read for tonight. I'm not a hater. God.
Why do you hate it so much?
Stop. I hate Marvel.
Which is all... Oh, I'm waiting.
Editing all this out. But I, of the books I read, like, just this morning I read Amazing Spider-Man. And the last couple have left me a little flat. Especially the last one. I remember Dan at Friday Night Magic was, you know, wanted to know what I thought of it. And I'm like, you know what? It had some neat things, but nothing really happened. The story didn't move forward. With this one, I definitely think the story definitely moved forward. I'm definitely more interested in reading what's going to happen now. Basically, it's showing that not only does everybody get spider powers, but there's a bad side to that as well that's coming. This is all part of Spider Island. And the only thing I didn't like is they revealed who the big bad is at the end, and I looked at it and went, I don't know who that is. Maybe giving a name would have been helpful.
I went and looked it up. I
you
guess
okay.
It's an old Marvel character, like really old Marvel character from like when like Cap and Namor and all that. I guess it was one
of those like 1940s.
I'm pretty sure. I was looking it up on Wikipedia. I didn't
Come on,
get
Nick.
Read it. Totally.
We need you.
Her name's the Spider Queen.
Yeah, so I didn't know who...
Like
oh, I guess they gave Diva the name, but it didn't...
Yeah, Madame Web's mom.
It didn't help me. I thought for the longest time it was going to be Madame Web.
That's technically a title, right? Because they passed it from the old chick to Spider... The old Spider... The new...
Yeah, to...
Yeah.
Jessica?
No. Yeah, Jessica... not
Jessica
Drew.
It's, what's her name from Secret
Carpenter.
Wars?
Carpenter. Julia Carpenter. The one thing I really did like is that it's looking like Carly is trying to figure out... It has an inkling that's... Peter is Spider-Man, and the machinations he went through to try to hide that from her and keep her from knowing. There was a lot going on in the issue, and I really like this one.
I have to say, I really do not like the character of Carly Cooper.
Yeah, I saw your comments.
I'm just not a big fan of that character at all.
She's got a Spider-Man tattoo.
At least they have Mary Jane there.
No, I'd rather have Mary Jane.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are you a Mary Jane fan? So you hate anybody?
I'm just not a fan of her. Like,
I'd
even accept
Peter Parker and Mary Jane.
Yeah.
Gwen Stacy's dead, so the only person for Peter Parker is Mary Jane.
That's right.
So what about Fear Itself number
six.
My the only a lot going on like they've had in the last couple. And it almost makes me feel like it, I was thinking about this today. It's like they told Fraction you have 7 issues, and it's like anybody who had a school project. You start off, oh, I'll do a little bit here and I'll do a little bit there, and that's how the first couple issues went. And then all of a sudden now he realizes it's wrapping up, so he's trying to get everything in quickly.
To me it almost felt like he had 15, you know, like the school analogy, he had to write a 15,000 report but only needed 12,000 words.
Yeah.
And this felt like a lot of posturing for 7.
Right.
Like a lot of...
Moving the pieces where they need to be.
This whole issue in 4 pages if you did it succinctly. Yeah.
But it's like I said back at the very beginning of the podcast, Fear Itself, issue 1, and probably issue number 2, could have been told outside of Fear Itself if you just put some of those subtle things into Avengers over the last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then started with like...
See, this is what's weird, is how I thought Siege felt really rushed at the end.
Yeah.
This feels like it's really drawn out. Like, I feel Siege would have been a better 7-part story, and Fear Itself would have been a better 4-part or 5-part.
You know, I felt that way about Siege through issue 3, and then issue 4...
was really rushed.
Seemed like it was over in the first 3 pages, and the rest was, oh, we have to fill up the rest of the book.
That was a really cheese throwaway.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Oh, let's turn a helicarrier into a big bullet and kill the world's most powerful superhero.
Well, that's a little bit my problem with this, only in the fact, one of the things I really expected in this issue was everybody to get their weapons. And then to have the setup of, you know, I could see the last page going into it of the bad guys there, the new guys with their new weapons. Issue 7 is going to be an all-out, you know, war issue. And it set that up, but it set it up with Cap and his guys and him with a .22 going, I'm going to take on these guys with hammers, which made no sense.
Kind of cool that, like, Cap was at least personifying his American status.
This guy just broke his shield. What is a rifle going to do against these guys? It was a neat moment, but I just seemed it was a little not realistic moment.
Yeah, it's like spitting in the wind.
Right. But is he also leading these people to their deaths?
Right.
Whereas, you know, we know these weapons are coming. It's just strange that now they're going to have to take a couple pages in issue 7 to introduce these weapons to these people.
I think the battle's going to be very Civil War ending, where it's one or two big splash pages of...
Could be.
Hinted at battle, like... Well, and Flashpoint did that at the end, too, right? They didn't show a big battle. They just showed a couple splash pages of a battle happening and summarized it, which is fine.
Just my only concern with this is just they've built these worthy up to be so big. In a couple pages, they shouldn't be able to be beaten. That's my only thing. I expected more.
Yeah, like
that's
the
all.
Juggernaut. I mean, he's taken out the Thunderbolts, the Avengers, and the X-Men. I mean, and now some dude with a mystical sword.
Right, is going to take him out. Iron Fist with a thing.
Where is Ragnarok? Because I thought Mjolnir was always the most mighty Asgardian weapon.
It's always been Odin's sword.
Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Or spear. Wasn't it a spear in Siege?
Yeah.
Technically,
it can turn into a sword.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying in Siege, the big thing was they were going for the spear.
Spear of Destiny, maybe, or something like that?
I don't know if it was the Spear of Destiny.
Marvel doesn't really do Spear of Destiny.
Yeah,
that's mostly DC.
That was DC.
Spear of Life or Spear of
Odin's Spear. I will say, too, I think Fear itself has gotten better with every issue.
Yes, it has. But I think
5 was kind of a climax. I think 6.
Yeah.
It was a great issue, but 5, a lot happened in 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it was a little too late, though. I mean,
they had 7 issues to get this going.
But these issues have been really good. These last two.
Yeah, but I agree with Matt. I think they could have played out, like, some of the early stuff with Sin could have been sprinkled through the Captain America issues for a little while and things like that. But they could
kind
have
the old school approach of doing this kind of thing.
Where that's my fear with this, where this is more editorial driven because of the 2 movies. We need this big event with 2 characters that are in these movies.
This is really 8 issues, right? Because there was that big prelude issue.
There's going to be 3 more, so there's going to be 11 issues altogether.
Right, but.
But
how do you? I mean, who cares about a Thor funeral issue when we've already seen what happens to Thor after? Right.
True.
The Mighty Thor book is.
Is it? Do
yeah,
we know?
It said explicitly after 3 or in 2 or 3 in the recap page. This takes place after the events of Fear Itself.
Okay, that's going to be interesting.
I want to go back.
Oh, hey, Nick. Oh, what? Ooh. Sorry, Nick's showing his X-Men First Class DVD. Nice. We're very impressed with that.
Blu-ray today.
Okay, now tying
in... I'll tell you, the big Marvel book for me isn't the giant crossover. It's X-Force. That book feels like...
Oh, absolutely.
The biggest book Marvel's putting out as far as epic scale of what's going on in it.
Yeah. You know, and what's interesting, X-Force is by far my favorite Marvel book right now. And just everything in it, you can't wait for the next one. My only fear is as they're announcing all this Regenesis, they're showing one of the, I think it's X-Force 20 is going to tie in with Regenesis. And I'm like, just my gut feeling is, no, don't mess with this book. It's going so well. Leave it alone. Even if it's not in continuity or anything, it's been a great story.
Well, the leader of one of the teams is the leader of their book. So, I mean, I don't know how it can't.
Right.
But it could subtly, you know, be involved in it and just be Wolverine's new team, his new, you know, maybe new target, and how it applies to the overall scheme of things. Because killing people, I think, is at the crux of this whole storyline with Schism.
Right.
And yet X-Force is the book that stays on Wolverine's side of the fence.
I know. It's crazy.
Well, yeah. It's the leader, right? I
mean, well, but what Nick was getting at is they're making Schism out to be the big divide. It has to do with killing people.
Where Cyclops condoned killing, where Wolverine didn't.
Yeah, what I think it's going to be about is that when the first X-Force, Kill Squad X-Force with Wolverine in it dissolved, mostly it was because Wolverine being upset with Cyclops using certain people,
right.
Like his clone, as killers. But I think killers that are already established as killers, I think he has no problem putting them in the field.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Schism's more about him not wanting the Gen Hope kids.
Right.
To become killers and blast his warriors.
Yeah.
Like Idy. He's really protecting Idy after she killed all those people.
And it basically comes down to Scott being more pragmatic than Logan about matters of war. Because Scott sees himself as the protector of all of mutant kind.
He's a general, right? He's leading his troops as opposed to Wolverine. He thinks they're humans.
How does Scott always get the
Wolverine
hottest girl?
Wolverine kind of has this more black and white view. It's like you're either killer or you're not. And if you're not a killer, you shouldn't be doing it.
Well, the reason he has that view, I think, is because he's a killer, and he knows all the baggage that comes with it, so he doesn't want to have more people have that baggage. But if you've already got it,
he
puts you to work, because he's been a soldier.
Right.
At the end of Schism, they get those alien things stuck on their face that takes Emma and Magneto out of the fight.
Out of four? Or three?
I'm so glad I don't remember.
Is anybody reading X-Force that's not a big X-Men fan? Because there's a lot of stuff in there that's like old school, or I shouldn't say old school, but like 90s continuity that's coming back in a way that...
See, I didn't get that, but I like how it's brought in the world. It's brought in... You know, everything that's happened in X-Force up till now is relevant.
That book makes me want to go read Age of Apocalypse.
Who they're calling genocide in this, who... was the Age of Apocalypse called Holocaust, who before that was called Nemesis.
That was awesome. I love that introduction of him.
He's cool.
Question.
Yes.
Okay. I like the X-Men a lot as a kid, but now being older, when I read X-Men stories, I'm sorry. Forgot about that. Nick brought that up a long time ago. Nick Bishop from the 90s cartoon.
I'm from your future.
Yeah. Harmonica sounds. Harmonica. Yeah. No, I liked the 90s cartoon as a kid, but now being older, I find that I like X-Men more. Like, I like the movies, where it's just very down-to-earth. Like, I don't have to worry about aliens and, you know, how many times they've met the aliens, anything like that. Could I jump into X-Force?
Yes.
Can I expect not to get any weird, crazy alien craziness, or...
I can't say not getting weird, but I think you can jump into it and have no problem. Like, I had no idea who Phantom X was when I jumped in.
Okay.
I love Phantom X. I want more Phantom X.
I know Phantom X.
Well, did you like Age of Apocalypse?
I've never read Age of Apocalypse. I've never read any of the X books ever. I mean, except for like Ultimate X.
I think you could jump in on this. Yeah.
Weren't you gonna recommend Morrison's X-Men?
Oh, well, I read that, but I mean, like the other. Like,
but he read it as a Morrison.
I read it because I follow writers. You know,
I would say pick up the first trade of this because that's the initial Archangel story.
I mean, because it seems like Black Ops X-Men, and that seems kind of interesting.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely Black Ops X-Men. Absolutely.
It's Black Ops X-Men to a degree, but what it really is it's really just epic big stories. I mean, each storyline is like such a huge.
It's
like,
what the X-Men.
And if it was in the regular books, it would be over many more issues.
Don't you think, Nick? It's what the X-Men line should be.
Yeah. Every issue counts. Things happen. There's stakes. It feels like anybody could die at any moment. It's just awesome.
And I'll say the difference between this and prior X-Force series that I've read is this isn't sanctioned by Cyclops or Xavier. This is Wolverine and Angel funding their own Angel funding it, and Wolverine leading their own Black Ops team that is not sanctioned by
And they Spider-Man. Have a new twist on Archangel that's just really cool.
It is. It's
Rick Remender.
Rick Remender, which scared me.
From the origins of early X-Factor, Archangel, like what they're doing with him in this. Like, it's such an obvious thing.
Absolutely.
And no one's ever done it.
Absolutely.
This is what I hear every month, is that X-Factor is awesome and Rick Remender is...
X-Force.
Really,
but X-Factor is awesome as well.
Oh, okay. Well,
they're almost
X-Force.
Opposite ones.
Yes, absolutely.
And I don't read.
X-Force?
Yeah.
X-Force with Remender?
Like, I like X-Factor for everything that it isn't like X-Force. None of the stories seem huge or crazy.
Right.
They're more character-driven, where this is more certainly more story-driven.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, because that's what I hear every month. You know, Remender's great, and X-Force is just hitting out of the park.
Yep.
And that's interesting to me, because I like X-Men, but I don't want to have to...
And guess what? The first graphic novel just came out last week.
Ooh, Colin, look at that. Where can I purchase that?
You could purchase that here at Pittsburgh Comics.
If you're only going to try one X-book, I think that's the one.
Yes. And then the next one I'd try is X-Factor.
But nobody else can purchase it if you
purchase
it. I have four of them, so we're good.
Yeah.
50 years.
Totally, I agree with you, Nick.
Like Astonishing X-Men, the first...
The
Whedon
stuff?
Plus, the Whedon stuff with 24 and the Giant.
Yeah.
I like that when I got back into comics, because I didn't have to know who all that 90s continuity was.
And if you've read Morrison
and
X-Men, it's a nice bridge.
I've heard that it's a,
it's a nice segue.
Jess bought those two issues that you recommended to her when she came in, but she hadn't seen... She knew nothing of X-Men until she saw First Class, and she tried to read Astonishing coming right out of First Class, and she was just lost. And I was like, whoa. So I had her watch the first three movies, and I think I don't know if she's picked them up and read them yet, but I'm waiting for her.
It's a very base X-Men class, and it's Cyclops, Emma, Wolverine...
Beast.
And I like a small team. I mean, I like that there's this large breadth of characters that they can pick from. You know, like we were talking about the Legion, but... At the same time, you know, when they're like, oh, and then this person, like, I have no idea who that is.
Yeah, that's what I liked about it coming back, is you didn't have to know who, like, Serial or Angel or any of those people they referenced in X-Men First Class that I had to Google.
Nice, Nick.
Yeah, I just got the coupon out of the back of the X-Men First Class Blu-ray, and it's got, you can download some free comics from the past. And one of them is a Chuck Austin X-Men story.
I saw that.
It'll
get people into books.
Yes, it will.
I used to get those in the mail.
I haven't read those, but I've certainly heard lots of wonderful things about Chuck Austin X-Men.
So another,
it's the Draco.
Even better.
Another new book this week was New Avengers.
I didn't know it yet.
Yeah, I didn't read it yet.
Because I really liked it.
The only reason I didn't is I heard to read Daredevil before that. Not that they went together, but that... So go ahead. I didn't read it yet. Don't give anything away.
I thought what was really cool was everybody's been going, why would Daredevil join the Avengers? And I think this did a really good job at explaining it and not giving away too much at the end, but he was kind of like, you don't have to. I really don't want this. And they're like, just give it a shot. Like, Mikey will try it.
it's, what you're saying is totally how I felt. I didn't think Daredevil would mesh well. But when you think about the characters on the New Avengers, he fits perfectly.
The reason he went, the whole plot really worked. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the reason he ended up in Avengers Mansion, how he did what he did inside Avengers Mansion, just all added up and was like, this,
how was the art in that?
Oh, it's effing awesome. Best artist in comics right now. Cool.
John Romita
Super Jr.? Dinosaur!
No. Diodato.
Is this the
Matt
one
has an issue with Diodato.
Is this the one he has a gun? Daredevil?
Why does he have a machine gun? Seriously?
Who? Is this the one he has
a
machine gun?
Oh, yeah, but he's...
So we've got a blind man with a machine
there is.
Shooting robots.
Is awesome.
A blind man shooting a machine gun.
Well, remember, he has radar. He has
something together.
But he rips it off one of the German robots from
that's
the fear
so
itself.
So
Don't do it. Nick is opening his Ultimate Spider-Man right in front of him. Oh, don't do it. Oh, you got two. Okay.
Yeah, Nick really shouldn't do it.
Yeah, don't. Hey, now.
I was doing
no hating on Marvel. Now, Daredevil, just to go to another Marvel book that came out this week. Now, I'm like 2 pages short of finishing it, so I do apologize. But I think the Daredevil relaunch has been fantastic.
Yes.
I think the art has been amazing.
So three big shots.
Daredevil, Moon Knighter, and Punisher.
I think they've all been awesome.
You know what? I didn't like the last Punisher issue only because the art, his falling from the sky... I couldn't figure out what was going on. I couldn't figure out if he landed. It was very unclear. See, the ending of that was very unclear.
The art in Punisher is a little sloppy.
It just wasn't good storytelling.
But Rucka takes a while to build a story. He does a lot of plot development.
Oh, I didn't mind that. I just as I was reading it, I could not figure out what happened at the end.
How freaking amazing is it that Punisher goes 3 issues before Frank Castle says a word?
Really?
3 issues. Yeah. Because I read all 3 of them simultaneously. Doesn't speak in the first issue, doesn't speak in the second issue, and he doesn't speak in the third issue until the end. And like Matt said, he doesn't need to. Like, it takes nothing away from the story.
And see, I was interested in this because it's Rucka, and I like Rucka.
Oh, it's Rucka writing.
Yeah. Rucka Punisher. It's gritty. I'm not a Punisher guy, and I highly recommend it.
No, it's been good. I haven't been reading the Moon
Knight. And I think Moon Knight is a great twist on the character. I mean, we all know he's crazy. But his craziness is manifesting itself. Like, he actually has some fake claws that he, like, when he gets, like, his psyche's fractured between Captain America, Spider-Man, and Wolverine. And he'll actually get into a fight where he's like, I should be Wolverine. And he pulls out these claws, so he looks like Wolverine, and he starts fighting like him. And you're like...
It's like playing up the he's crazy to a whole new wonderful level.
The only thing that's weird is you really have to have read that... You have to read that Daredevil... was it Mac? The Daredevil Echo story.
Mm-hmm.
That would help so you know who Echo was, because she's kind of playing a role, and that's the only time I really remember.
She was in New
her.
Avengers, too.
Yeah.
She was Ronin, which made no sense, but okay. Okay. Anybody else? Because I have one that I... What?
Ultimate Spider-Man. That's big news, right?
Less than
it's in newspapers.
My favorite book of the week... We both enjoyed thoroughly. It's adult oriented.
Hold it up for everyone to see.
Is Criminal.
Should I leave?
No, you're fine. If you haven't read Brubaker, if you haven't read Brubaker's Criminal or Incognito, do yourself a favor. It's great pulp crime.
Yeah. Brubaker Shining.
It is. It's
it is good crime. I like
there's a twist at the end of this new one that is fantastic.
Yeah. Now, we were discussing, it's like you turn the pages and you keep going, I want to turn more, what's going to happen? I went, wow.
The only problem I have with Criminal and Issues is, at least prior previously, it didn't ship very regularly.
No, it's been,
And I did move the trades purely because of that reason, but it is fantastic.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, Sean Phillips' art—he doesn't get talked about a lot when people talk about Criminal. He's been with Brubaker since Sleeper.
But he does
some art things with this. Basically, it's a present-day tale with a lot of flashback material. And when he does the flashback material, it's drawn in an Archie Comics style.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Like the good old days. Yeah, he's remembering the good old days. Yeah.
This will definitely be a trade read for me.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
I used to be trade on Criminal, and then I realized that there's the back matter that Brubaker puts in, like in the pulp stuff. Instead of letters columns, it's just random little bits about different pop culture noir stuff that he likes. That's just really fun, but they don't include that in the trades.
See, I don't read any of that stuff anyway.
That's the bonus. But then
is that why I hate Watchmen? Because I didn't read those text pieces.
You had to read the text
pieces. They're not like that.
But my question is, do you watch the special stuff on DVDs? Nope. Okay, see, I do.
Yes.
Yeah, I
do.
99% of the
time. Do you read Criminal, Nick?
I do, however, I don't get it in issue.
You're a trade guy on it?
Okay.
The new arc is fantastic.
Yeah, it is. You'll like it.
That looks like something I'd be interested in picking up.
It just reads so well because it all begins to tie up.
Yeah.
When you read it, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
And I'd say a great trade that came out today, crime-wise, Blue Estate. It's fantastic.
It's one I want to get to.
It's a Russian mafia story.
Some of the best covers I've ever seen.
Yeah, the covers are just fantastic.
Matt sold me on it.
Yeah.
There's drugs, violence, sex, money laundering. I mean, just pick your vice and it's in there.
Look at this.
Drinking?
It's yes. pouring out of the barrel of a gun. No,
that's the first cover.
Look at the cover of the first one. It's
It is. And it was funny because this came out the same time as a book called Green Wake, which comes out next week. And I'd heard a lot of hype about these, and I read the first issues of both of them, and I thought they were great. I did not finish. I didn't keep up with them, and now I'm happy that the graphic novels are coming out.
Yeah, and Sweets came out today.
Yeah, Sweets. That's one I want to read. Yep.
Southern New Orleans.
No, Nick. Don't do it. Don't do it.
What's he doing?
Nick was showing the cover of the Infinite.
Oh, Nick.
Are there feet on the cover?
Somebody
got no feet?
Oh.
No feet. I sold, I think I mean, well, I sold,
Nick
I know I sold a couple.
Hardcore live field.
But I sold a Green Lantern.
He actually watches the Levi commercial before bed.
But, okay, here's what I've heard about Liefeld is that, you know, everyone rags on him for his art, but everyone always says that he's the nicest guy ever, and that's cool, too.
He's got
I mean,
a surprisingly large fan base.
Yeah. He does.
Did you ever see that video where the guy gave him the book?
He's not a bad person.
Yeah.
I don't really think his art is... I mean, it's not my favorite thing ever, but I don't think it's, like, awful either. Oh, I read it. I didn't think it was as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Okay, it's okay. Enough bashing.
So, speaking of that, Ultimate Spider-Man number one.
I wanted it to be good. I found... Hey, there's feet. Nick's showing us Rob Liefeld.
Oh, there you go. They're very tiny.
I just found the fact that the origin was almost identical to the origin of Ultimate Peter Parker. I guess that's the easiest way to say it. It just seemed convenient. It didn't seem anything unique, anything new. It was seemed almost just a case of, well, we need to get more minorities in our books. Here's a way we could do it. And I'm sure there's a lot more to it than that, and I'm not trying to simplify it, but it just seemed kind of an easy way... To get that done. There wasn't a whole lot to the story. I'm hoping for some different powers. There certainly appeared to be a different power at the end. And I had no I enjoyed the family dynamics, the problems. I thought that was good.
Was it the dad and the brother-in-law?
Yeah, the uncle.
I thought that was, it's kind of like what I liked about Batman Beyond. You know, like the family dynamic was so different in Batman Beyond than anything that Batman's ever had. So I thought that was cool. And same thing with this. I think that it's supporting cast. Him being like a very young, kid is going to be more family centric.
Yeah. So I did like that part. Just the fact that it was. Well, I don't want to give everything away.
But I would say out of the three Ultimate books, this was the three Ultimate relaunches. I loved the Ultimates. I loved Hawkeye.
I didn't read Hawkeye yet.
And this just was disappointing. I guess I didn't have high hopes after Ultimate Fallout, but I wanted to like it and. We'll see. And number two comes out. I will say, Sarah Pacelli art is gorgeous.
Yeah,
the artwork.
Did you guys see at the back end of the book? There's a QR code you can scan to get a video of her drawing it.
Oh, cool.
That's kind of cool.
I like that they've been. I first noted that in the Flashpoints, the promos for the new DC, where you could do that QR code. I'm really enjoying that. You know, with my fancy new phone. So I think that's really cool.
This is the broken bag.
That's
a great idea, though. I mean, it's a way to make the books a little bit more engaging.
Absolutely.
And digital element
extra stuff, yeah.
Transmedia.
Yeah.
But I thought her art was gorgeous.
Yeah. I haven't clicked on any of them yet.
Okay, now, one Fear Itself tie-in that I got into. Only because I made fun of it. So,
Monkey King.
I felt that. What is it? We got some feedback going here, Nick. Turn down your radio, please. So I made fun of Fear Itself Monkey King just based on the title. So I felt I owed it to the people who have been accusing me of Marvel bashing to give it a read. So I did. I read it. And, you know, it's a good book. My problem with the book is that it has nothing at all to do with Fear Itself. Okay, relax. Again, a neat story. It takes place in the Eighth World. It ties in directly into Iron Fist, and I really love Brubaker's Iron Fist, and even Fraction's Iron Fist after that. But I bring back those characters. Bring back the Immortals, the Immortal Weapons. It just seemed like somebody wanted to tell a story, and so now we've created a character named Monkey King, who is in those things. And the only thing that tied in with Fear Itself is that he was able to escape the Eighth World. When the hammer hit the ground and shook reality or whatever.
Now, did you read Iron Man 2.0?
I did not.
For a crossover?
From the Iron Man 2.0? Okay.
I don't know. But
so maybe it does tie in. But the Fear Itself tie in, if you're a Fear Itself guy and getting every Fear Itself issue, it really had nothing to do with Iron Man
itself. Iron Man 2.0, Iron Fist and War Machine end up in China with the immortal weapons trying to close a gate from hell, maybe.
Okay.
And I didn't know if it tied
in. Okay, maybe that.
That
does tie in with that then.
I read it
okay,
yet,
that, so that could. But reading it on its own as a one shot, I would just kind of. The one panel where it said, and the hammer fell,
right.
I just felt that was a bit of a, like, as they used to say, a Red Sky crossover with Crisis. Yeah. I mean, it was a fine story. Interesting. It just seemed misplaced, and I didn't know the purpose of it. I didn't quite make it to Hulk versus Dracula. I did flip through it and see that it does tie in with the my dreaded Tomb of Dracula Throne of Blood character that I was told to order in great, great quantities. So hopefully that comes into play. But another one of those where they told us the Tomb of Dracula one was going to be a crucial part of Fear itself. And I'm going, well, I really hope a crucial part of Fear itself isn't in a three-issue tie-in that's coming out as issue six, with seven being the climax, if the big event is on this little side thing.
Don't worry.
I'm not super playing. I know there's double shipping in October, but just a lot going on that seems to have come a little late in the game.
Totally.
Vampires are the next big thing.
What?
Vampires are the next big
thing. No, vampires are done.
Totally
but
unrelated to Marvel. How about those covers on Unwritten?
Yeah, they've been wonderful.
Just gorgeous.
Yeah.
I want to buy the book just for the cover.
Yeah, I've had. Well, you're more than welcome to do that, sir.
I'm sure. I'm going to buy those in college.
You can buy them here at Pittsburgh Comics because I have them all. Trying to think what else came out this week. I was a little focused on getting the DC's Red.
G.I. Joe, Page Spectacular. Catch up on your covers.
Super Dinosaurs being promoted by Nick and by Benjamin.
Super Ghost Rider.
Deadpool.
Deadpool.
Deadpool was fun.
Deadpool.
I can't say
Alpha Flight. Didn't get a chance to read it yet.
No.
Yeah, I got Alpha Flight. Oh, we Deken. We remiss.
Deken, Dark Wolverine.
Deken.
We'll at least mention Deken for
Joe.
What are you guys
looking
forward to next week?
Batman.
What are you looking forward to next week?
I don't even know what's coming
out. Yeah. Yeah, Schism 4 is coming out, so that's good. And the Gen Hope tie-in.
Iron Man 509.
Cap?
I've
next issue of Captain America. And
are you enjoying that, Nick? Legacy?
Unmute. We can't hear you.
Sorry, I was on mute. I just want those characters to come back. It's such a long, protracted way to get them back. But I just want the end result of having Havoc, Marvel Girl, and Polaris back.
I feel you, man. I feel you.
It's stretching it out.
About props, too.
I do.
Havoc for life.
Yep.
No,
that's
go.
That's right, man.
Does anybody like the book Gladstone School for World Conquerors? I like it a lot.
My problem with the book, and it has nothing to do with the book, this is the retailer side of me coming out. I sold out of number one, and I couldn't get any more. And I find very, very frustrating so now I can get 2, 3, 4, and 5, which are very hard to sell.
What's it about?
Yeah, what's it about?
Oh, it's like kids are being raised.
School for criminals.
Yes, school for criminals.
Sweet. Oh, that's not a school.
What?
Nick got so excited he cut out.
Sorry, I'm reading Gladstone too. It's awesome. It would make an amazing
speed
series.
Yeah, it would.
Is this like little kids who are already criminals or little kids who are being trained to be
criminals?
Their
parents are criminals.
Their parents are criminals.
Like
they're
runaways
like
in reverse.
Semi criminals. You'd have to read the first issue and like get it.
Did you guys see Sky High?
Yes.
Yeah. It's like Sky High with supervillains.
Nice.
All right. Absolutely. That's a great
yes, that is a,
no, I can't.
Who publishes this? Image.
But not,
image.
Okay. But
wait for the trade.
I did too, okay. Nick. It'll probably be an interesting
Why is what's the suggestion to wait for the trade? Just because Colin
can't
get
number one.
Okay. Well, that's sensible.
Any small publisher books this week or not big two books this week?
You know, did you read Pigs yet? I've heard really good things about Pigs. It's in my bag to be read. Heard really good things about it. So
I mean, I didn't
consider Criminal a not big two book.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, that is.
Oh, don't forget Infinite.
Infinite. Yeah, Nick is recommending Infinite. I do have
20 million copies.
I think my one for the shelf is still there.
One.
That's just.
If you're wondering where the world's collection of Infinite are, come down to Pittsburgh Comics.
That's a common refrain among retailers where it's subs plus one. We have one for the shelf.
I have a couple different covers for the first one.
So yeah, yeah. No, there were a couple different. I had one guy get all covers for number two as well. Oh, it wouldn't be a podcast if I didn't bash Marvel. So I figured I'd bring this out. No, just want to address it a little bit. I've been told by a couple people that I've been hard on Marvel when I shouldn't be. The main reason, generally, when I'm hard on Marvel, it's more from a it's not from a fan standpoint. It's from a retailer standpoint. They just sometimes make my job hard, and I find it frustrating. And little things like, just for an example, we have Daredevil number 4 coming out next week. Well, we got Daredevil 3 this week. And when you have something ship in consecutive weeks, well, as a reader, you get great. You get the next issue. It's wonderful. And the problem is I need those 4 weeks for that book to sit on the shelf to sell. I need people to see it for that time, you know, to come in, because not everybody comes in every week. I know Nick's going to whack me on the head because I'm being mean. So when a book ships consecutive weeks, it limits the time that number 3 can be on the shelf, and it's especially hard in a time like this because of number 3. It's a make or break time. Somebody comes in and sees number 3. You know what? I've heard good things about this. I have 2 and 1 on the shelf. I'll go ahead and grab these. When it gets to number 4, you get into that hard part where it's, oh, number 4's out already and I didn't read the others. I'll wait for the trade. Yeah. And it limits the shelf life of those books for me. So that's just one little frustrating thing. That when it, you know, someone might hear me say, "Oh, I hate Marvel because they ship the books too fast." It's not. There's a reason that I don't like that they do that. Same thing. I don't like when books are late. Just another example. Kick-Ass. I think it was 9 months or so between issues 2 and 3. Well, that's not good either, because then people just, number 3 comes out, they're like, I don't even remember what's going on. Who cares?
If you consider Criminal a small publisher book.
Criminal's different. Right, absolutely. Criminal's different. It's going to have its fan base. Same way an Ellis book can be late, and it's not going to matter because people are reading Ellis. Well, it's starting to affect you, sure. But something, other books aren't, you know, Kick-Ass being an example. A lot of people, you know, can give or take. You know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So that's I'm just trying to give my point. I'm not trying to be mean to the publisher or anything. Just certain things they do make my job harder.
So another big book we've probably overlooked because of all the hype with DC is Buffy season 9 number 1 today.
Yesterday. Now Buffy has its core people. Hopefully they come back. It's been a long time since season 8 wrapped up. I've never watched the show, so I tried to read Buffy number 1 a while back. It didn't make any sense to me. I didn't know the people, so I can't vouch for it.
I gave up in season 8 when they had a bad guy named Twilight.
Okay.
That was I was like, Buffy, but I love Buffy. We have a villain called Twilight.
Okay.
Drop.
But, no, Buffy is certainly popular, and, I have them on the shelf. People love them. And that's one that sells over a long period of time as well. I'll be selling number 1s for the next 4 months as people come in and go, oh, Buffy started back up. So delays on that shouldn't be a big problem for
me. And I would say one of the big, we've had conversations in the past about what gets people into comics. I'd say one of the most common questions I get is, if I like Joss Whedon, what would I like?
Right.
And that's a great question to get, because it's easy to answer.
Easy, because right now, especially right now, we have Buffy, we have Dollhouse.
Angel.
We have the Serenity books.
Serenity.
Angel.
He wrote X-Men.
You can throw them towards Astonishing X-Men. Avengers. Dan, do you like Astonishing X-Men?
I love Astonishing.
See, there we go. We have a late guest visitor here, Dan.
The Wonder Woman pilot.
No, that shush. Close the computer. We're done with him. I'm trying to think what else came out this week. Like I said, the DC has been the focus, just to get ready for even just this podcast.
DMZ 69.
See, now I'm a trade reader for DMZ, so
that's the penultimate issue, right?
Stop it.
No, 70's the last issue, right?
72, I think.
Oh, sorry, I thought 70 was the last.
Yeah.
It's getting that.
Sorry, that's all.
Yeah.
Do you have the Thor, the Mighty Avenger trade in stock?
I should. Yeah, the Chris Samnee.
This one, the.
Roger.
Yeah.
I just read it for the first time, and I'll tell you, that's like the perfect book for people that saw the movie.
The problem I had with that book is when it came out with, there was fanfare but no explanation. And when it came out, I read the first issue, and I'm like, I don't understand what I understood the issue, but I didn't understand. It didn't fit in. It was like a homeless guy goes into a museum and he's trying to get to this thing and everybody's trying to stop him. And finally, the curator lady lets him and he smashes this pot and inside's Mjolnir. And you're just reading it going, okay, what does this have to do with anything? And so I didn't continue on with the book.
No, I understand.
And it was critically acclaimed.
It's like the easiest Thor story to read and the most endearing I've ever read. It's
cool.
Really,
was that the
Samny really
book?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Samny book,
oh,
yeah.
I hate his art on Cap. Oh, my Lord.
But I agree, Nick. I think that was actually the point of the book was to, if you're not a Thor reader, this is the Thor book for you if you like the movie.
Right.
I think the problem is everybody else, it was an out-of-continuity story, and that just killed
kind
it.
Of, but without telling us that it was an out-of-continuity, just saying, oh, here's a great Thor book, and you're reading it, you're going, especially
yeah,
that was at the start of all the Thor hype and everything.
And they sold it as, this is an in-continuity Thor story.
Well, like, they didn't say it wasn't, they just said, you know, it was another solicit in the
but
book.
That was when they had, like,
it reads like an all-ages story, too.
Right.
And I mean that in the best way possible.
Right, right.
Anybody could pick that up and love it.
Yeah.
Tony's Fly came out this week.
Yeah, they're liking like Fly and the Living Corpse.
He really liked that when he.
Next week we have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Number two, yes. I wish
Did
I had more.
Did anybody read number one?
No, because I sold out immediately because I had too many people buy all four covers. I was unprepared
so
for that.
Many covers.
Teen Wolf Bite Me number one?
Yes, from MTV Studios.
Oh, not Michael J. Fox Teen Wolf.
No, not Michael J. Fox Teen Wolf.
I'm on the fence of whether or not I want TMNT number two. I don't know. Okay. I like the first issue, but is it like it's something?
You could bring
I don't have all four covers.
Yeah.
Well,
Guild with the Jaden cover.
So.
Yeah, you know, I haven't read any of the Guild. It's
either.
It's done okay,
there's
but yeah.
More than four covers.
Yeah.
By
of what?
TMNT number one. I have four covers, but there's eight.
Right. Well, there were variants, but there were four main covers. And I had three people want that, and that ate up my 20 copies pretty quick. It didn't leave a whole lot left.
If anybody's read TMNT before, it's very back to basics.
Right,
original,
right. It definitely looks that.
You know, TMNT.
And I love the Hembeck Daredevil covers. Just the numbers on those were a little too high for me to be able to get. But I truly appreciate. I miss Fred Hembeck.
Don't you have original Hembeck art?
I do have an original Hembeck Daredevil that he drew for me as I stood there at a convention in 1983. Yes.
That's awesome.
That is
And I do, I have his huge thick book, and he used to have a page every month or every week in Comic Buyer's Guide. So I love Fred Hembeck.
I love his art. I love his knees.
Yes, his squiggle or his swirl knees, yes. I do believe my Daredevil has swirl knees.
Justin and Dan will be happy. Game of Thrones number one.
Yes, finally. I'm looking forward to that.
With a variant cover?
How many covers?
It was a 1 in 25, so I got one. Well, there's two covers. But
you can have it, Justin.
Okay.
So I think that's the reason he got
it. Well, there's an Alex.
No,
Ross
it made
version.
An easy number to pick. I didn't. That's a
no,
tough
I meant,
one
like,
to
the
pick.
The variant, I think.
No, no. But I didn't order just for you, but I did order. I went, I don't know how many of these to order. There's a 1 in 25 variant. You know, there's a huge fan base for a book like that. How is it going to... No,
okay.
If you want it. See, I'm very easy to get along with. You tell me you want it, you get it.
Listen,
Marvel.
I don't do Marvel.
I need to get a Marvel tattoo.
Don't go that far.
I know you do, Nick. I know you do.
I have a DC tattoo, to be fair, as well.
Okay. Do you have the Image Eye anywhere? Oh, I don't want to know.
Nope, just Valiant, sorry.
Okay, fair enough. So I guess that's about it for tonight. I think we're good. We covered everything we wanted to. Next week we'll be back, same bat time, same bat channel, to talk about, from what sounds like, it's probably might be the best week of the 52 relaunch. Everybody seems to be excited about most of them. What?
Week four.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
Hawkman, Firestorm.
I'm excited for Hawkman.
Superman.
Blackhawks.
I'm excited for Blackhawks, too.
I'm not excited for Blackhawks.
Superman, the Flash.
And High Vampire.
Joe will be excited for Blackhawks.
Okay, well.
Aquaman.
All-Star Wars.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Still signing off, so we'll talk to you next time.
Some of us have been waiting.
Oh, stop. Later.
See you, Nick.
Well, I heard you crying like